United Nations is welcoming the 5 billionth person alive in the world.
The White House today denies reports the U.S. sent weapons-related equipment to Iran as late as last month. The recent scandal at the PTL ministry are taking a toll on the credibility.
Kim Baker resigned.
Well, company is working with the Ohio Department of Natural Resources, which is looking into the situation. I'm Michael Moliterno.
If your computer is running slow, go to MyCleanPC.com and get a free computer diagnosis. In minutes, you can activate MyCleanPC software to clean out the junk that may be slowing down your computer. Increase your computer speed today with MyCleanPC.com.
Are you trying to sell your old car? Instead, donate your vehicle to Heritage for the Blind. Pickup is free, and your donation is tax deductible. Call 800-942-0697. 800-942-0697.
Putting America and our valley back to work. Recognizing local companies and business owners that are generating new ideas and innovative concepts that are helping to lead our valley's workforce in the new economy.
Meredith from InfoCision's Newcastle location talks about what makes InfoCision stand out.
Well, if you just ask one of our employees, they'll tell you the people. We pride ourselves on hiring friendly people who care, and we keep them by maintaining a family-focused policies that let our employees balance their work and home lives. We believe that a happy employee is a great employee. That's why we offer a great benefits package, such as immediate health benefits, paid vacation every 6 months, 401k plan with a company match, competitive pay rates, and we also have, including in our wellness plan, an on-site doctor's office and on-site fitness center in all of our locations.
And how can people apply?
They can use our job hotline at 1-800-210-6269. Visit us online at InfoCisionJobs.com and apply there.
Mark Levin is on the radio.
We're not going to come at you politically. I wish I could do everything possible to sabotage your agenda, because your agenda is anti-American, because your agenda is anti-free market and anti-private property, because your agenda is an attack on the individual. I personally will do whatever I can to sabotage such an agenda, to obstruct it, to divert it, because I'm coming after you all the time.
Weekdays from 6 to 9 p.m. on News Talk 600 WSOM.
Welcome to Tracy and Friends, weekdays from 9 to noon, the show that stimulates your mind on the issues of the day. Call the show at 347-945-5229 or toll free at 1-800-530-WSOM. That's 347-945-5229 or 1-800-530-WSOM. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
Get busy up in here. Manchester, make
noise. Well, good morning and welcome to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 6 minutes, AM 600. Okay, nice. Hello, good morning again, and welcome to Tracy and Friends here on WAM 600. WSOM, I guess I left everything at home. We are on WSOM, it is AM 600. And it is 9 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock here on the 5th of September, 2014. Hope everybody's going to be cool today. They say it's going to get almost to 90 degrees. It's going to be nice, a hot summer day here in September for a Friday. And it's setting us up. The weekend might be a little bit cooler, may be able to get some chores done and take care of some things out in the yard we need to take care of before the winter sets in. I want to know, when do we actually start putting out lights? Do we do it now or do we do it later on? I mean, do we wait until fall comes and we catch a good fall day, or do we start putting Christmas lights up now? I need to know. The number is 347-945-5229. I want to hear from you today. It's going to be an open mic. I am very amazed at what we allow to happen in America. And I'm serious. I'm sitting here and I've been reading over the couple days and just trying to chill out, and I'm trying to find who saw happy moments. And And I am just amazed by what comes up and what comes around. I'm leading up to something, so if those of you who think I'm like I've gone off a cliff, I almost have. But I went home last night, and I was tripping, and I was, you know, sitting down watching, you know, checking the headlines and watching the news and going on Reuters and seeing what was out there. And I got this email that says John Kerry is talking about how God wants us to take care of the earth and we should be doing something about global warming. And you have to know me, you know, when I'm not around, you know, just when I'm just being Tracy. And in my mind, and this is how I said it. I'm like, dude, the world's on fire, and you're talking about global warming? I mean, are you kidding me? I mean, do you really understand that we are in a serious situation here? And you got a president talking about you don't have a strategy. I understand he's going to be on Meet the Press this upcoming weekend, which I'll talk about a little bit later on. And I'm going, and you're talking about what? Come on, you got to be kidding me! You can't be talking about, you know, global warming right now. Don't get me wrong. I understand that we need to take care of that which God has given us. I agree with that wholeheartedly. I do. But right now, we need to be reassured that you are doing your job. The rumors out there saying that you're disconnected from the president, you're running around the country, around the globe, should I say, and you're talking about global warming? On. That's the craziest thing I've ever heard. And so I'm throwing that out there. Joan Rivers passed away. And I gotta get clearance from somebody before I say what's really on my mind, because there's some things that are on my mind when it comes to Joan Rivers, and I like Joan Rivers. Don't get me wrong. And she said things that people didn't say out loud. And if you guys know me, you know I happen to like people who say things that are truthful, that, you know, people want to say that they don't say because they're afraid to offend people. So that encourages me. It really does. But there were some things that she said, and I gotta get clearance. So I won't say something until later on in the show before I say it, because I'm a little concerned that if I say it now, we'll all be in trouble. But she was a funny lady, and my condolences go out to her family. She was very, very close with her daughter, and my prayers go out to her, because being an only child, I can only imagine what it would be like to lose my mom, and especially as close as she and her mom. They were close. And that's really, really, that's something that we all should learn. And I'll say it this way. That's something that we should learn. We should understand that we need to be close to our loved ones while they are here. Also want to send condolences out to the professor, Eric. He comes in here periodically. We call him the professor. And Eric Wells, his mom passed away. He was coming in here on a regular basis, and then his mom got ill, and he had to take some time off. And in this past week, she passed away. I have not spoken with him, but I have sent a note to him letting him know that my prayers are with him. I have not heard when the arrangements are, but my prayers go out to him also. Also, my prayers go out to the Staples family in the loss of his sister. Mr. Staples' sister passed away. And so my prayers go out to her, Mr. Staples and his family, and also to the Block family, no, the Cook family. I'm sorry, the Cook family. The young lady that we went to school with, she passed away. A lot of people going by the grave. Just thought I'd throw that out there. So you know, you need to treat people right, and treat them with respect and dignity. And make sure you let them know who they are to you. And also, let me say this, I'm talking on this, thinking about yesterday, how we should treat one another. And a lot of times we have enemies and we have people that we don't like and we have things going on in our situation. And jobs today, and I'm going to talk about jobs a little bit later on in detail, but the economy and jobs today, there are a lot of companies and that play games with their employees. They set thresholds for you to get raises that they know that it'll be almost impossible for you to actually meet. And so what they do is they cause you a lot of havoc. So you go to work and you do your job and you show up on time and you do all that there is. And I'm going to say, especially for those who are in commission retail and those who are in, let me stick with commission retail. What happens is they give you thresholds. They give you, you know, benchmarks that they want you to meet. And so, but they want you to sell product. And I'm going to say banking also. But they want you to sell product too. So you are a teller or you are a clerk and you wait on the people and I go in and I buy that which I choose to buy. And they want you to pressure me into buying more because they don't feel as though they got to get the average sell up to a certain number to meet their expectations. And so they tell you that they're going to give you an X amount per hour more when you meet a certain threshold. But they play with the number, and they know that when the economy is down, people don't go out and buy certain items. And so they set the threshold just far enough for you to climb, but never for you to reach so that they can play games with you. And so I have problems with when things like that go on. It really, really bothers me. And, you know, we talk about, you know, as a conservative, how we don't like how things are. And we don't like, you know, we don't want to increase minimum wage. And you hear that, you know, we're not for collective bargaining agreements. But when we have things like this, this right here gets under my skin. This is why you have to have someone who's supposed to work on your behalf, help you out. Because if you don't, companies do play games. And I understand that. I understand that very, very well. Been there, done that, got T-shirts and a Snapple with it. And it's really, really sad that all of us don't open up our eyes to see how we need to strike a balance. Because when you go to work to do your job, you expect to get what you're supposed to get. But don't play games when I'm trying to achieve a goal. And I'm working very, very diligently trying to achieve that goal. And I'm trying to get ahead. And when you don't treat me fairly as an employee, you really, really make it bad for me in the future as well as for yourself as a company, as well as, you know, the next employer because I'm going to leave you. And that's how good employees leave. And that's how they become bitter, and that's how good employees become stale. Hey, good morning, Eric. How are you?
Good, Tracy. How you doing?
I'm doing good.
Yeah, good.
I got issues. I do. I got issues. It's open mic, and folks, people playing games with a whole lot of stuff instead of being honest and truthful and letting people live and having a good way of life.
Yeah. Did you see the protest yesterday about McDonald's again for $15 an hour?
See what I mean? See what I'm saying?
It's like, come on, people. You're not going to get that kind of money.
It's not even that. You don't deserve that kind of money for what you're doing. Let's get real.
Yeah. It's like, don't they get it? You're being played.
Nope.
You're being used.
Oh. Your president's going to be on Meet the Press Sunday.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I guess he ain't going to church, huh?
No.
your president's going to be on Meet the Press Sunday. He's going to be on there with Chuck Todd. I think that's Chuck Todd's debut. Hey, did you hear that Secretary of State Kerry said that the scripture says the U.S. should protect the Muslim countries against global warming?
Are you serious?
Here, check this out. Oh, it doesn't want to play. Hold on. Hold, where are you going? Don't do that. I got to play it from the beginning. Listen to this. I had to go back.
Faiths and our faiths are inextricably linked, and that is profoundly why we must do this now, because they are linked. Our fates are inextricably linked on any number of things that we must confront and deal with in policy concepts today. Our fates are inextricably linked on the environment. For many of us, respect for God's creation also translates into a duty to protect and sustain his first creation, Earth, the planet. God created man, he created heavens and earth. Confronting climate change is, in the long run, one of the greatest challenges that we face. And you can see this duty or responsibility laid out in scriptures clearly, beginning in Genesis. And Muslim-majority countries are among the most vulnerable. Our response to this challenge ought to be rooted in a sense of stewardship of earth. And for me and for many of us here today, that responsibility comes from God.
How you like them apples?
Wow. Yeah, just like the 1.8 earthquake we had here in Niles last week that nobody even heard or felt. They're making a big deal about it still.
Listen, I mean, seriously. I mean, really. Do we really understand that the you can't get the Islamic communities to stop cutting people's heads off? They think that you're an infidel. And you're talking to them about global warming. Am I missing something here?
I just don't know.
I'm just serious. I mean, you get a president. He's gonna go. He's backpedaling right now, and they're backpedaling on no strategy right now. They're trying to get past that. And so, right now, all the talking heads are trying to coalesce, and the media is backing up off of him.
Some of the use that our faith.
Because he, you know, they don't want that to be, you know, the center of what's going on right now. You got Tweedledee over here talking about global warming in the Middle East, in the Arab-speaking countries. You can't even get them to come together to side with you to make them stop the Islamic State or ISIL. And you got Eric Holder talking about Ferguson. You got, you know, a judge economist coming out with a ruling talking about we have to extend the days from 28 to 35 because of the voter suppression and or fairness. When states like New York and Michigan, they only have one day to vote. Does anybody am I missing something here?
Yeah, I just think that those guys live in a different planet.
And I don't know, were you on the area on the line yesterday? And I got crazy folks talking about comparing Black Americans and slavery to what's going on in the Middle East today.
Well, yeah, somebody made a comment that Warrensville Heights is 93% Black and they only have, like, firefighters or something like that. I'm like, well, he's saying, where's the outrage? I'm like, well, I'll tell you what is the outrage. It's because an unarmed Black teen hasn't been shot to death by a white officer.
Not only that, do you know how hard it is to get Black folks to go and apply to be a police officer? To do what's necessary to pass the test? We want to be honest about that? Do you know how hard that is?
Yeah.
To recruit African Americans to go out and become popos?
Yeah, the majority of them don't want to be cops.
So tell me, how you going to make somebody be something that they don't want to be? And you got to go through the process. What am I just supposed to give you a job and let you show up when you want to? Do whatever you want to do? Take, you know, don't test or nothing? Is that right? Maybe I'm a little bit too naive. Uh, 269, your mic is on.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm just listening to you talk here to the news with that the Ferguson situation.
Yes.
And come to find out that I think last year, just with fines and penalties and things of that nature, that police department was raised over, I think it was $2.6 million from that little black community. Now,
I believe that.
Yeah. Now, if you can imagine that, you know, probably the last 15 years, you're already talking about a, you know, an impoverished community. And, you know, they were doing a research on, you know, what type of stops, you know, stops for not having a light over your license plate, just little, you know, Mickey Mouse infractions. So, you know, this not only is it racial, but it's also economic. And that's why, you know, I think it'll be hard to try to move those white police officers out of there. So, I mean, there's so many dynamics to it, and we so narrow-minded to think it's just, you know, oh, we lazy and blacks don't want to be police officers. You know, you may have to go out of your way a little bit to recruit, but I was on the city council, and we was able, in 4 years, we turned an entire white police force to a black one, so.
Can I ask you a question? How many years ago were you on city council?
Probably about 10 or 15.
Okay. Let me tell you this. Let me be honest with you. I was on the school board 14 years ago. And at that time, we could do a whole lot more than today because the climate has not only have the politicians changed, but so has the environment and so have the people. Right now, because of the lack of education and information inside of our school districts, just in the high concentrated urban African American areas, it is very, very difficult. Very difficult to get young men and women to do what's necessary, because you've got to take a test, you've got to pee in a cup, and you've got to have the physical agility to pass the fitness test and then want to become one. It's very, very difficult to get them to go and become an officer. We have jobs today, and we have jobs today, and there are young people out there, and those that want to work, they can go out and get. I'm talking about good paying jobs, but you got to do, you know, you can't come into the studio, sit down and talk, and not know how to work the equipment that's around me. I've got a mixing board, I've got 3 computers, I've got 3 keyboards. And be able to watch the screen, and I got a television going too, and everything else is going on around in the room. Plus, I've got to do the producing of the show and reading for the show before I get here. And you've got to put the discipline time in. If you don't, it won't work. You've got to know the programs. And somehow there is and I'm not talking about just black kids, but because of a concentration of a lack of information inside of our school districts, inside of our communities, inside of our churches, inside of our neighborhoods, it's not coming out. And I think a lot of it has to do with them not having a father figure or a man in their life who is strong enough to steer them the right direction. And yes, you're right about it having an economic component to it. I agree with you.
But Tracy, let me ask you a question.
Hold on, Pionki, hold on. What'd you say, Michigan?
Yeah, we don't. There's not a shortage of reasons why, you know, the conditions are the way they are. I don't think there's no one main reason as well. I think it's multiple reasons. And quite frankly, without the help of the dominant culture, most of those issues won't be able to get they won't be able to be solved because
but
the
this is what I'm...
play such a role. Yeah, they play such a role in maintaining it. So, I mean, you just got to be honest. If they're not interested in solving them, they won't get solved.
And this is my issue. This is my issue. There are those of us that are in position of influence that don't have the mindset of those that look like us in the 60s and early 70s. Because they are definitely not putting the needs of our own community on the forefront. Because today they're meeting today, they're meeting today in Youngstown, the NAACP, locally, I guess, is meeting with the school district or someone about education here in our community because our school has been under academic watch for at least 5 years. And I don't think they've moved the needle in any way, shape, or form. And out of all of the school districts in the state of Ohio, the Mahoning Valley, where the highest concentration of African-American students go to school here in Mahoning and Trumbull County, we are at the last two schools in the state when it comes to academia. So how can we get anything out of it if you can't put anything in it? Go ahead, Pianchi.
Yeah, I was just wondering, why come you don't do better to get more police officers in Bedford Heights, Oakwood?
You don't even know what I'm getting ready to finish saying. You said, why don't you do more? You cannot make people become something that they don't want to become.
How you know what I'm getting ready to say?
Didn't
I might
say,
be saying
why don't
become
you go
basketball
out and make
players.
They do want to do that.
I can understand now. You just answered my question.
See, you didn't have to ask it. Right now, it's a game. And I think I talked about it last week, Pianchi. It's a game when it comes about police officers. The numbers, even the ranking officers within the police departments, it's a game. And there's not enough of us filling in the gaps. Because there's
well,
not enough
of us. Well, you
got to
know how to play the game. You got to do the work. You got to do the research. You got to know how to play the game. You got to show up prepared. You're not doing that to the extent that you need to do it. Matter of fact, hardly no place. All we do is talk, complain, talk about white supremacy, the compensatory code, and racism.
That's what I said.
And, of course, Democrats.
That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm saying.
Get out there and start programs like the black firefighters down here. They started programs where they brought applicants in and they prepared them. They done the same thing. They started a Met Center here where they prepare young people to enter into different aspects of the construction industry and also other jobs. It was a tremendous turnaround. We have a construction training charter school that prepares students for the prerequisites to see whether or not this is an area of advocation that you would enjoy going into. It's nothing new. I mean, it's not rocket science. Just put these programs in place so you can prepare your children.
But listen to what I'm saying. We actually have programs that have been like that, have been funded by the police department to go out and recruit. The problem is finding people who want to become law enforcement officers.
Well,
so with your unemployment rate, and here's another point. You don't use the police department. You have a outside agency where the police department and the fire department has to come to in order to get applicants. That way you can circumvent them coming up with the excuse we can't find nobody.
Listen,
don't you know those
thing.
Old
people? We have some very, very good community based and outgoing African American law enforcement officers. We have some of the best, I'd say, in the state, and I'll put them up against anybody in the country when it comes to African American law enforcement officers here in our community. And they have gone out and firefighters. They go out and actively try to engage our community into becoming law enforcement officers. But you can't make people become something that they don't want to become.
Do you have them going to the school? Do you have them at career days in your high school?
Yes. That's what I'm trying to tell you is we're very aggressive. But you can't make – listen, we have the opportunity to do a lot of things. But you got to stop smoking reefer.
You can't smoke weaver and become a po-po.
We had, Tracy, we had here in St. Louis.
But see, this is what I mean. Now, this is a known fact, Tracy, that whites smoke more reefer than blacks, and also there's ways of cleaning your system out. So that's really not. I don't think that's what I say. What we do is we try to pinpoint one issue and make that the issue. But that the smoking reefer is not the issue why you don't have black police officers. But listen. With what Bianca was saying, with the numbers being so huge of African Americans in America, it's hard to see any progress. Now, those recruiting programs, I would agree that they're probably on the ground in most African American communities. But you're talking about looking for progress and change when you're talking about so many millions of people, and so it's just hard to see those programs doing anything on a massive scale. But you have recruiting programs going on all over the United States. So it's not like blacks are not doing anything. We're looking for this massive change that for you to see a massive change within the African-American population, the dominant culture has to buy into that because they control all of the levers of power. You're just not going to see this massive change without buy-in from the dominant culture. And they're not going to buy in. One reason why they're not, I can give you two. One reason why the dominant culture will not buy into the progression of the African-American community is because of economic reasons. Do you know how many white middle-class jobs are created based off the condition of blacks, whether it be in education, every industry? So we've got to quit fooling ourselves. White folk are not going to buy into the upward mobility of African Americans. They're making too much money.
Listen.
You know why don't
let me say this. Hold on.
You know it.
Listen to this. Yeah. And this is something that we have to understand. Everybody's going to make money on everybody else. That's just capitalism.
That's not true. But go ahead.
No, that's true. That's capitalism. Listen, capitalism is all about making money on everybody else. And I think you've heard me say this, and I've got to take a break, but you've heard me say this, and I'm going to continue to say this. You can be the wife, you can be the girlfriend, or you can be the prostitute. The wife thinks she's got something, and she has total control, and she doesn't. The girlfriend thinks she's going to get him, and it's a flip of the coin. But the prostitute always gets paid up front. She always gets hers. She knows that she's going to be used by someone. She knows this. But since she's going to be used, she knows she's going to get hers also. And we're going to have to start thinking, hey, listen, I know you're going to use me. And I'm going to let you use me because I'm no fool. But I want you to understand, while you're using me, I'm going to get mine.
Right.
And that's where we're losing. I've got to take a break. I'll be right back.
Howdy, howdy.
Hello.
I'm so excited.
Hello?
Charlie Staple Barbecue Sauce is at the grocery store. That's right. You can get Charlie Staple Barbecue Sauce right at the store. That means you can put back the thick and muddy. If you can't taste the meat, what's the point? Pick up the smooth and delicate Charlie Staple Barbecue Sauce. Next time you find yourself down at the market, remember, Charlie Staple Barbecue Sauce, the full cup of love.
Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is now available at the grocery stores. Ask your grocer for a cup of love.
If you can't taste the meat, then what's the point?
Fit family. Unique.
In the background, agreeing with that bull crap.
What do you say, Michigan man?
What's up, dude? I thought I heard either South Carolina or Eric in the background agreeing with that.
The problem
is that they're working. The black community.
They not working with the kids to get them involved. All they do is talk about this, that, and the other, complain. You got to get out there and work. And you have to get out there with those children at early ages and start directing them towards these professions. Whites are doing it.
Yeah, but you
you
know,
got the county of Euclid, which is about 60% black down there, only got 5% blacks in the police department. That's totally crazy. Then you complain about when these folks beat you upside the head. work to change the law, the state statute that defines lethal force.
Well, sound like Tracy said, the black community just need to be the best prosecute that they can. But, and I hope, you know, that wouldn't be the strategy that I would use. But you know, a lot of that stuff is going on, Bianca. You know what's going on. But it's hard to see any massive change because our numbers are so great, you know, here. If you were a smaller race, like Jewish, you know, the numbers like Jews, you would probably see a different result in the African American community. But, you know, in order for you to have that systemic change that you're talking about, man, you really have to have control of your children at all times. And the public school system is not an African-centered institution, and it never will be. So, you know,
they need to put the things in place to make the schools the way they should be.
Well, watch this.
You see anything wrong with that? Huh?
No, but here's what you got. Now you got African Americans paying taxes for a public school system that they will never be able to control, and you know, control just having the majority on the school board does not control the school system. I think you know that. It's not going to let you control the type of curriculum, what you want to teach the kids, and you know it's not. You know that, right?
Well, no, that's not true. You can put whatever curriculum you want. That's what the state law says.
What state? Yeah.
Well, it's in the state of Missouri. I'm pretty sure it does in any other state. How can a school district, a state board can only set the minimum standards. Your maximum standards can be whatever you want them to be.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you would have to. But see, I mean, again, not only would you have to have a paradigm shift there, then you also have to paradigm shift. How are you going to get all those white teachers out of there?
They'll go. They did in Milwaukee.
You think they're going to give up their 40?
Right. In Kansas City, the principal said, look, you have to go take this training so that you can be more effective in this program. Those that want to will. Those that don't will not go. They will go elsewhere.
Yeah.
Come down to Ohio.
Yep. Yeah. Well,
and it's in the newspaper. She told the teachers that she would help them find. Audrey Ballard says she would help them find a job elsewhere in the district if they couldn't go with the program in Milwaukee. They were supposed to go take up these courses at the community college. Some of the white teachers refused to do it, so they had to walk out the door.
347.
So Tracy
and
them need to
229 or toll free at 1-800-530-WSOM, online at TracyandFriends.com or 600WSOM.com.
Thank you.
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. I'm in the studio with Jeff now. He finally made it in. You know, he's a little slow on Friday.
Yeah.
He can't help it.
Some people say I'm slow anytime.
That may be true. That may be true. That may be true. And we were talking about police officers and African American involvement in it. And you know, I will say that there, I'm trying to tell y'all, I know it's tough. Don't get me wrong. It's competitive. Nobody's coming to help you.
No.
And I understand that, the guilt is gone, but we got to wake up and start doing some stuff for ourselves. And watching people use us, like the people protesting about McDonald's, like Eric was saying, you're being used. You're being used by a society. And you don't realize that you're being used, and in the end, they're using you. You're going to lose.
Yeah, I mean, you people are never going to get
$15.
Yeah, you're not going to get $15 an hour to flip burgers, period.
And even if you get $15 an hour to flip a burger, guess how much the burger's going to cost when it becomes $15 to pay your behind?
And everything else. Yeah.
No one's going to
come
anymore. No one's going to come and you're going to lose your job.
The law enforcement agency, we have African Americans, they don't want to be cops. They don't want to do that. If they have the ability to become one, they have the ability to do anything else that they want to do. And they've already said, that's not what I'm doing. I'm either going to college here, I'm becoming this, or I'm becoming that. But we, our pool of people who desire to become anything outside of what they're already doing is very, very narrow.
Yeah,
you try being a young
Tracy,
lady trying to find a young man.
Hey, Tracy.
Yeah.
My daughter's graduation program had every kid's future goals after college, after high school. Not one kid on that list. We're talking like 500 kids. Said police officer.
White or black?
No, listen, from way back in the 70s, 77, I went into service. I wanted audiovisual. When I got through with basic, they told me, hey, you know what, we don't have any positions in audiovisual. Maybe you could go and cross-train into that later, but we want you to be a security cop. I told them no. Now, this is back 77. Now, I was a little wild in those days, you know, so I wasn't trying to be no cop. Why would I do that? The cops are the enemies. And that's what don't forget, we were calling them pigs and stuff back in the late 60s, early 70s. So I didn't want to be a policeman, and I didn't. They changed me. The psychologist said, I told him I was afraid of guns. He looked at me, he said, you from Youngstown, Ohio? He said, I'm from Cleveland. You ain't scared of no guns.
It ain't that I'm scared of guns. Let me see, and the money that's behind it, yeah, they make money off of you, but they make money off of us everywhere we go. That's why I keep on saying if we started collecting our money and doing something positive with it, they wouldn't be able to get it. But no, we don't want to wear a seatbelt. We want to ride dirty. We don't want to have insurance. We want to go. You know you can't go through no white area blowing out your speakers like that.
Michigan, do you hear the commercial that comes on for the barbecue place, Charlie Staples?
Yeah.
Who stopped him from rising in this society? And that's all I could ask you. I could tell you several businesses that this man successfully had. And my point is only not to embarrass him or reveal something. My point is to say this. I'm not going to tell all of it, but I'll just say he's owned several different types of businesses.
And they have not been easy for him either.
Not have been easy, but every last one of them was successful. And my point is this. The only reason that you stay down now, I'm not saying back in when they were doing Black Wall Street and Jim Crow and all of that. Oh, yeah, that was a problem when they could stop you. They cannot stop you now. They can throw some roadblocks in your way, but they can't stop you. And that's my point.
Let me say this. Let me say where we will agree.
Bring him up.
If you have an individual in front of you, certainly that is the motivational speech that you would want to give to them as an individual. Yes.
To do what?
An individual that he can succeed.
No one can stop him. I mean, who would tell a child anything other than that? So all of that sounds good, and it is good. But when you're talking about a group phenomenon, this is not an individualistic country. So pointing out a few African-American millionaires and say, hey, the only reason you all are not millionaires is because you didn't do like you did. Now, Jeff,
you're
smarter than that. Okay, I know you're
smarter. Let me ask you this. Michigan, can I ask you a question? Michigan, hold on. I need to ask you a question because I don't know you.
Yeah.
Are you relatively successful?
Yes.
Okay. Did you have obstacles?
Absolutely.
Did you overcome them?
I still have obstacles.
Okay. Are you overcoming them? I mean, just because somebody put a roadblock in your way, did it stop you, or did you continue on and get up after you got done and licked your wounds?
No, I have no choice. But
okay.
I hear where you're going, Tracy, but here's – there's only one pot of money. There's only one pot of resources.
Not
like resources are rained down from heaven, right?
So, they do.
They
do. Yeah. They do.
Land is laying down from
listen.
Heaven.
Yes, yes. Guess what? Because if I find something that you want,
and
if I got it and you got the money to get it, guess what you'll do? You'll do whatever's necessary to give me what you got to get what I have.
Yeah.
Let me tell you this, Michigan.
This is where you guys go into the shallow mode. But go ahead.
Uh-huh.
Go ahead,
a few years ago, Tracy and I were on the radio, and there were other people that were on the radio before us when they were getting ready to redo downtown and put the government building in. They built two government buildings downtown that Republican Governor Voinovich put the money into and had built. Let me tell you, we were screaming to black people, let's go buy these.
They were a dollar building.
Dollar building, and hold on to them for a little while, and they will pay. We could not get one bit of cooperation from any of the powerful blacks in this city to do anything. Number two, radio station, FM signal, was up for sale. Tracy screamed on the radio, let's buy this station. All the big power brokers, and guess what? All the people that's always out there marching, talking about no justice, no peace, and all this BS that they come up with, instead of going in their own neighborhood and say, stop shooting up folk in my neighborhood, or you got to go, and call an FBI in yourself if you have to. But here's the thing. Nobody moved to do this, and now you hear, well, we ain't got no black old radio stations.
The station went for $500,000, and a half of that was in tax credits for a nonprofit.
Right.
What'd you say, Eric?
I don't remember that, Tracy.
And let me say this. I understand. Listen, money is there's only one set of cash, but we got enough power when we choose to make things move. I'm serious, that's why they still screaming voter suppression in the state of Ohio, because they know that the Big Eight, where all these black people live, are going to move a needle, and they got to make sure that they get souls to the polls on Sunday and make sure they get buses out there to register and vote on the first day.
Well, Casey,
we need to understand the power that we have.
Yeah.
What?
Your strategy was to be a good prostitute, so the Big Eight, I believe that that's exactly what they're doing. They're being
they're being the big hoe. Okay, listen, that's what they're being. They get, because guess what?
You
a hoe don't get nothing for it.
That's what I'm saying.
A prostitute will get money.
She gets paid first.
Now, unless you're talking about some of the big political people and preachers that are getting a bag of money.
Yeah, they get money.
But some of them do.
But listen, we know. They don't know. That's what you call a pimp. No. That's a pimp. Say that because what they do is they take the.
Community.
No, that's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. But we need to understand.
The community's whole.
But the question is, why do I allow the pimp to come take my cash when it's me on my back?
Well, there can only be so many hoes.
Oh, I got
No, there's plenty of hoes out here.
There's a bunch of them.
A whole bunch of them. And they voted in this House and Senate and President the last couple times.
They got I'll be right back.
Woe is me.
We in bad shape now.
That's why Africans got rid of the blacks that they sent over here.
We in bad shape. Yeah. Well,
that's why they peddled them off. They was lazy, rebel rousers.
Yeah. You have a few successful blacks. I think that number will continue to go down. You have a few. You're always going to have a few black middle class, but the majority of blacks, man, it's over.
Michigan,
let me tell you something.
There's nothing stopping. There is nothing stopping you from stopping somebody, and they are doing it, from taking a group of young people and training them for a particular advocation.
I agree.
It goes on, but it don't go on. They did it in the fire department. In the city of St. Louis, for every white fire department, you have to hire a black. That's the rule. And it works.
What I'm saying, Piazza, is even with...
All you got to do, and here's another thing. Let me get this real quick.
Yeah.
State statute defines lethal force. If you don't like the way lethal force is being applied today, revise the statute. How simple is that? What is Tracy talking about? Shave some votes, like Tracy's always talking about. Why come they not shaving the votes in order to get the coalition amongst all state legislators, do some bargaining? Look, does she not know she got to learn how to play the game?
I think Tracy, that's what I said. There can only be so many hoes.
Use them lips for something other than putting lipstick on.
I don't know that Tracy is even I don't know. But anyway, but what I'm saying, Bianca, is, there's no question that more can be done. But if we're looking for these small strategies to show up in a big way, when you're talking about 60 million people, you still are not going to see that. You're talking about a young nation. And in order for you to see...
No, I'm not talking about all over. I'm talking about in the areas where you dominate.
Yeah, correct.
Well, in U City they did it. So why come they can do it here in U City and you're not doing it else place rather than complaining? U City complained, so they changed it.
When you talk about places where blacks dominate, the 10 largest cities, if you talk about the police force, it more than likely it's either the Irish or the Italian.
Ain't no Irish and Italian dominating here in these cities. Michigan, man. Mimic the cities where it's successful. That's all. I mean, if a program works in one city, should it not be as easy in another socioeconomic similar city?
Yeah.
Same thing with education system. There's many examples of successful black schools. Rather than buying on to some of these programs that's foreign and come from here and there, mimic the successful ones. Tracing them need to have instead of showing up at the fair, have a strategy. Sit down with these people and say, hey, let's try this. Let's do this.
Well, I don't know. One thing I do know, when you're talking about, you know, having, you know, competition on every front, I mean, it's just going to be hard to pull some stuff. That's why if the dominant culture doesn't buy into the upper mobility of African American, you won't see it on a large scale. I mean, that's just the way it's going to be. You're going to have little pockets of success. That's really all you can hope for. I mean,
all pockets of little pockets of success is not the same. It has to be individual efforts because that's the way they so constructed. My politics in Missouri don't work like the politics in Ohio.
Yeah.
I don't even know the people down there. So all I'm saying, if you have these problems, this is what we did here to alleviate the problem.
Yeah.
Ferguson is not St. Louis City. Ferguson is not Belle Fountain. Ferguson is not Barrington Downs.
Correct.
Barrington Downs is where these blacks have, well, my daughter is in that area. They have their own little enclave. They have their own police force. It works for them.
Yeah. Normally, you know, if you have it does take the black middle class to have time to think, you know, think tanks and putting strategies together, you know, like yourself. I mean, most of your thinkers in the black community are entrepreneurs. And so, you know, you just don't have a big base of those in a lot of those cities, like Ferguson. And, I mean, I've never even been down there. I probably can count the number of black businesses on my hand.
You got some black businesses, but they Ghanaian, and you got a Ghanaian doctor, you got a Nigerian pharmacy that competes against the Walgreens right half a block from him.
Yeah. Okay. Yep.
Now the reason why come you don't have the onslaught of applicants is because you don't promote these avocations in your schools.
Right, yeah, you have to go, that's correct. If there was a plan put in place at the...
Hell, they got ROTC in the schools.
Yeah, right, yep. If you start at about the junior high level and looking to move a group of African-American boys and girls right into those jobs after they graduate, that's easy. That's an easy fix, but like I said, that program needs to start at...
That's where you started. You start preparing them young.
Yep.
You can't go out to very rarely you can go out to an athlete and say, look, come on, play baseball. They never played it before.
That's correct. You can't go knock door to door in the black community now and ask African-American men to be police officers. Not, you know, you have to breed those police officers. And you have to start about the 7th or 8th grade. You can do it. That can be done. Easy.
Well, hell yeah, you can start in the 70s. If you want computer programmers or engineers, the National Society of Black Engineers can increase the number of black engineers in the country by doing just that. They have programs that's designed to introduce science and engineering to young black children.
Yeah, and to me, at this point, the best strategy for the African American community is that right there. Just strategically look to produce engineers and scientists, and just don't worry about anything else. But if you just stick in that area, I think that's going to be your best level of success. All right. But the Mickey Mouse, you know, the little Mickey Mouse, you know, it's not going to work. But, you know, when you go to change those infrastructures in those communities, I think the other thing, we know this as a matter of fact, that the dominant culture who you're trying to steal these jobs back from, they're not just going to sit there and let you. You understand? So,
ain't nothing they can do. You control the politics.
Let me give an example. See, and this is where I don't know why we haven't learned this.
And see, Michigan man, here's another point. I just gave you two or three or four cities that this has happened. You can continue to say the dominant culture is not going to let it happen. What do you mean the dominant culture? The dominant culture is not in the community that's majority black is the dominant culture in that community.
No. It depends on whether tax base is, whether or not they have a tax base, and whether or not. Who is the,
well, yes, they have a tax base. They got a personal property tax base. They got a real estate tax base.
They got personal property. See, that's why I say in most communities, the property is owned by white landlords.
They can't vote in those areas. White landlord that lives in outskirts own a house on such and such cannot vote in that community.
That's correct. The business tax base, most of your black communities don't have a business tax base because the businesses are not in those minority communities. If you go, you can go look at the budget of those cities that are run by blacks, and there's not a lot of resources that are doing a whole bunch. But like I said, you could be strategic and do a few things, but I wanted to give you an example of the dominant culture not sitting still. But it's up to you.
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. It's 9 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock, and I am playing CeeLo. And then I played him for purpose because one Prince is playing with him, because and you guys know I'm on a guitar thing right now.
That's a good thing.
It's not happy. So Jeff should be happy because it's not happy.
Okay.
But listen, I played this because, I we were talking about, advancement. And this is a good example of crazy. How do you become? I mean, let's go to him, Columbus Short, who was playing on Scandal. How do you get to that's the black guy on Scandal that they kicked off because he was beating his wife?
Oh, really?
Yeah, he won't be there no more. He gone. They gonna kill him on. He dead. He had dead duck.
I thought he got killed the last time with that girlfriend.
I'm not quite sure if he got killed, but if he ain't dead, he dead because he's not coming back no more. So how do you get on the number one African American written produced show that is? And when I say African American, the only reason why it's African American is because a black girl wrote it and produced it. But it is number one across the board.
Yeah, it is.
And how do you get on there and have a secure position? How do you become CeeLo Green with a song called F You?
Right.
And you are now on The Voice, and everybody loves you. And here you go talking about they going to get you on ecstasy and rape, and then you're going to come out and say before you even get to trial, well, if you sleep, it ain't rape. Come on now. How do you go and beat up your wife? And I'm talking, and the reason I'm bringing it up because what we were talking about when it came to police officers or even engagement in our own community, how in the heck do you get to there? And instead of reaching back and pulling people up, you get there and become obliviously just stupid.
The Quran says you can beat your wife if she looks like she's going to be getting uppity or out of hand. That's what it says. How do you know?
Yeah.
How do you know?
Jeff.
He might be in a mosque right now.
He ain't.
How you know? Except that he did. Mary, did you know?
Jeff, he ain't.
Oh, man.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying.
Oh, my God.
Listen to me.
How do you do that?
He ain't Muslim. I just want people.
How do you not have, how do you can sing and make people cry, Mary, did you know your baby boy?
Because we can go to David. So we don't want to go. I'm just saying, overall, let's be real about this. How do you get there? And we talk about, well, we ain't got no African-American cops. We need to understand folks don't want to do stuff. And when we do get them there, people go stupid. You got a black man in office, and the only thing black about him is his skin.
That's it. And his wife and kids.
Yeah, hello.
Hold on, Michigan. Hold on, Philadelphia. I'm just saying. And I mean, it is our responsibility. And I know that there is a white man out there who's got his foot on my neck. But it is up to me to take his foot off his neck and to twist it and to break it and to tell him if you put it back here, I'll break it again. But I cannot use his foot on my neck as an excuse for my everyday living, because if I depend on him, he will always keep me down.
Thank you.
Yes. If somebody think they got the upper hand, break it.
That's what I'm saying. And right now, we're talking about, I was thinking about this on the way in, and Pyongyi, you were on my mind on my way here. And yesterday, you trying to tie what's going on in the Middle East to black people is the most ludicrous thing I really can conceive in my head. I just want you to know, let me say this. We have some problems as African Americans in America, and we've had some history behind us that really, really, really has changed the conception of who we were when we left Africa. But we ain't never, ever started cutting off people's throats,
heads,
with a steak knife,
with a steak knife.
That's not true. We've had cases where blacks have decapitated people here.
Okay.
East St. Louis, Kansas City.
There ain't no widespread. You ain't never been. Hold on, Jeff. You ain't never been organized enough to get be ISIS.
Thank you.
You can't get organized enough to get your kids out of school to get them down the street.
Hello.
You can't even beat your kids.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey, you ever take a piece of shit and shove it back up your asshole?
No, that's what you just your mouth was,
no,
son.
No,
who,
we don't do
that,
sweetie. Who was that?
It's
some idiot that just called in that had nothing else better to do with his time.
Yeah.
Well, why come you didn't mute him?
Yeah,
you mute me because you don't like what I say.
Pionki, because you talk on top of people. Hold on. 626, your mic is on.
Oh, that must be me and you talking about.
Yes. Good morning.
Yeah, good morning. Michigan man, you know, trying to make an effort. I got to give him credit for at least trying. But it's pointless. I try to tell him before.
Yes.
It's pointless. You have a people. It's not anything against you two personally. I respect you two personally. I'm just saying for the positions that you guys represent, being paid by the enemy of black people to criticize black people. And then if that's the mentality that a person has.
Wait a minute. Stop. Hold the presses. What enemy is paying me?
And who did I criticize when I said black? Is it not true that CeeLo Green just came up on charges and then came out and tweeted that you can't rape somebody if they sleep?
That's a distraction. I'm talking about what Michigan man was and you guys
you know what?
Trying
dude,
to go
out
some
distraction.
Of this.
No,
well, let the man speak. I'm trying to hear what he got to say.
No, I don't want
to
let him speak. You know why? Because he's already said 20 things.
You're supposed to
home.
Just like them liberals.
This is ridiculous, man. Somebody's pro-black, Tracy. I tell you what, man. They don't make any sense at all to me. It's the biggest part of the problem.
Hold on. Let me say this. The reason why we can't get nothing done is because we got pro-black folks that are just crazy as hell.
Let me hear.
That's why.
I can't.
One of the problems is that you're in
a
system.
Hold on, Philly. Hold on, fella. You're gonna come up in a second. Kavina, finish your train of thought.
Can I do my show?
Yeah, but I
want
to hear this.
Can
I
do? I
want to hear this.
Jeff, can I do my? Can I do it from over here?
No.
Okay.
Okay.
Kavina,
you
go
have.
Ahead.
Oh, thank you. You have. Well, you guys are on, what, Stimulus or Salem Radio Network or something? These people are enemy of black people. They hire some low black folks that nobody ever heard of to come on there and say, this is what I'm going to pay you to do. Come on in here and speak this white supremacy nonsense. and I'm going to pay you. And Tracy don't even have dental. The white supremacist can't even give her dental payments. At least I could work. At least I get dental. And but the white supremacists want to pay her. I don't know how much.
Why can't
I
call him an idiot? That's wrong, Tracy. I should be able to say, look, you idiot. We own the show.
No.
Nobody pays us to do nothing but our own sweat and blood.
Hold on, that's why I don't have dental.
This is the problem in the community because you have ignorance like this. You have people that don't understand. They don't pay attention. They don't talk to you. They don't ask nothing. How many years did you have to pay for your show, Tracy?
Eight
years, right?
Eight.
Okay, who paid you to do that? Anybody, did you, because you worked in radio years ago at another station.
Let me give you a little lesson real quick so that you really get an understanding.
That's what I'm talking about.
This show is owned by Osi Media, which is incorporated by me, and this I have some people who are partners, and you hear from them every day, which is Jess and Styx and Ben and Mark. And it was my vision. I started out in radio working for an African-American company, and I saw some of the good things that it does for the community, and I also saw some of the flaws. When they no longer had the station and they switched over and was in receivership, I said that African-Americans needed to have a voice that we would control. So I called up and got into radio, and I became the personality instead of the manager. I have been a member of the National Association of Black-Owned Broadcasters, and I am still trying to move the needle forward when it comes to African-American media because I understand that the reason why we celebrate Juneteenth for people that were in Texas is because we have lack of communication and it's never centralized where people can go. And the best we ever had was that was Soul Train. Because that's where we got our information. If you notice, even on the Internet, everything is so widespread. And all I'm trying to do is give people a place to either vent and or think. Because what's happening right now is the indoctrination of a society to make you thoughtless. And if you don't think about what you are doing, you will always be where you are. And that's how they mobilize votes. Mobilize means I move you to move in my direction. Because if they chose to let me finish. If they chose to mobilize you in off season, then they would make sure you got to the polls when the mayor's race comes in and school board. But when the mayor's race comes in and school board, don't nobody care if none of y'all voter suppression people get to the polls because they're going to control it locally, they're going to control your county, they're going to control your sheriff and your prosecutor and your state legislation. But when it comes to the governor and to the president, all of a sudden there's voter suppression, and we got to mobilize y'all and souls to the polls.
Hey, Tracy.
Wait a minute.
When
it comes to money, they're making money off of you. And I'm just trying to educate people to say, listen, until we start taking care of our own communities, when I talk about CeeLo Green and Columbus Short and the rest of them crazy black folks in hip-hop who think they're doing something but they don't do anything collective, all they doing is spinning their wheels, and people like Covina Man ain't doing nothing but spewing some ignorance that's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, that's my problem, Tracy. Why you gotta always prove yourself to black people? You mentioned all these things you had to do. Every time you deal with black folks, it's like you gotta prove yourself and explain, I'm part of this, I'm part of that. Take my word for it. Look what I'm doing. Help me out here. We're fighting.
Eric, check this out. Check this out. The reason why he thought like he did just now and came with that foolishness is because that's what happens on his side of the aisle. They find some ignorant, Melissa Harris Perry, and they put her up front
because she getting paid. Hold on. She getting paid,
by the enemy of a black man.
Hold on.
To say stupid stuff.
MSNBC, CNN, Lemon getting paid.
Yeah.
Them people you see, they getting paid.
As a matter
of fact, Tom Joyner getting paid.
That's why
they ticked off Tata Smiley.
Thank
because
you,
yeah. Tata Smiley said something in opposition to the president, and next thing you know, Tata Smiley's sitting on the sidelines looking stupid.
Let me tell you, you guys have zero credibility. Nobody bought Russian to you and give you anything. You guys have zero credibility.
You need to go back to some of the books of W.E.B. Du Bois where he talked about the Philadelphia Negro and the world in Africa, and he talked about how blacks in powerful types of positions were just pawns of the system.
You would have certain
blacks that would benefit from the system, but as far as doing anything for the larger numbers of black people, they weren't going to do it.
Hold on, Michigan.
Go ahead, Michigan.
Yeah, during the break, Jeff, see if you can find out who Dean is from. I'm a hoe. Now, you know, I already said that you can only have so many hoes in the black community. Now, where a Covino man is not crazy is, and it's not what he said is not stupid either. It may not apply to you, Tracy, but it certainly applies. And you all just gave some examples on the Democratic side. You're absolutely correct that they are definitely hoes of the dominant society. The reason you don't have a lot of hoes on the Republican side is because, now this is where Philadelphia is correct. For the most part, white Republicans don't give a damn about blacks, so they're not even trying to reach out. So that's why you don't have a lot of holes, on the Republican side, but you do have some. So, but Covino Man is absolutely correct that hierarchy system is in place. You do have them more on the Democratic side. That's absolutely true. I think if the Republicans had something to offer, you would see the pendulum swing, and you would have black Republican holes. More so than you have Democrats. So
let me say this, Michigan, hold on, Philadelphia.
Yeah.
Hold on, Michigan. I want to ask you a question.
Yeah.
See, this is the issue. If you notice, the reason why you don't have the Republicans reaching out is because every time they go to reach, the Democrats go and cut, and they cut it off at the pass.
Sure do.
No. Let me say it this way. But see, this is the issue. I can't convince African Americans not to become Republican, not to become Democrat, just to become independent and to think.
That's all.
I'm not telling anyone. I have yet to go out and say, become a Republican like me. What I'm saying is, please come out of the party and make them beg for what you do. Right now, this year, if we were smart in some of these areas where you have these senators' races, there would be a massive organization of getting whatever you want. Because right now you can make both parties buy and dance. Because what we fail to realize is
the
numbers.
I got a question.
But also based on...
Philadelphia, if you cut me off, I will cut your throat.
We'll cut you off.
I'll cut your throat.
You sound like ISIS.
I can't say that.
No.
I'm telling you.
You go to jail for that.
She's going
to
be heavy.
Do you understand?
You sound like ISIS.
Absolutely.
Black ISIS.
And nothing else. We know that they're organized. And if we had half the organization of what they're doing right now, we can get somewhere in our own communities, in our own country.
Yeah, Tracy, it's like, who should I listen to, you or the person who wears tampon earrings on MSNBC? I mean, come on now, really.
I mean, I just want people to think about this. Don't you know that we're being used? We're being pimped.
We know that, Tracy.
And no, we don't.
No.
Michigan, Covino Man has no idea
that he's being used like a two-bit corner hoe.
Listen,
he don't know that.
In the next 2 years,
Michigan,
listen to what I'm saying.
Ask him.
Listen, right now, in the next 2 years, this black African-American first brother president with the black wife and the two black kids is getting ready to exit the scene. He's going to make an enormous amount of money. He is going to be set for life. And he is going to go, and he's going to maneuver and manufacture some stuff. And he is going to leave African-Americans in America hanging on a string, almost dead.
Correct.
We are sitting here with no education, no job performance, and no family, and no structure. And all I'm saying is we need to grow up. Yeah, we got problems, but the problems that we can take care of, we need to take care of. And those we need to organize to change, we need to change. But what Covina Man is saying is absolutely ludicrous. And, yeah, you got people, because anytime that Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson show up, the cameras show, and here we come. And next thing you know, there is a fight, a riot, and they done tore something up.
Like I said,
and they have yet to retract for their stupidity.
Like I said, if you go more time to street and say,
well,
no,
that's
just
not
no
true.
Peace or something, you might as well pass out candy, too.
Also, I think at this point you need to get out of the Democratic and the Republican Party. You need to become more of an independent type of community where you're able to swing your vote based upon the issues that you have with the government. So therefore, if you have a candidate that's a Democrat or he's a conservative Republican, if he follows the issues that you care about, then you as an independent would vote for that person based on the issues that they're about and not based on the party that they happen to be affiliated with. So I think that's the way African-Americans need to...
You can't do that until you realize that you're being pimped. You can't realize that because right now they're using us for a $15 an hour McDonald's, knowing good and well nobody needs $15 an hour to take an order and then count change back, and you can't count.
Now, the thing is, what Philadelphia is saying, okay, if you're going to do that and you're going to be independent, what they're going to come to you is with the same thing they come to you now. They're going to come to you with minimum wage. They're going to come to you with the health care. They're going to come to you. And we already know where everybody already stands on those issues. It's not like
that's not the, No, listen. No, that's not what you need. What you need is access to – you need access to infrastructure. You need access to
capital.
You need access to economic development in your own community. You need education and information. You need programming. You need things that are going to help African Americans when they come out of jail.
Minimum wage is not going to help you.
Because right now, when a black man comes out of jail, if he's got to sign a little box in the middle that says that he has committed a felon, no matter what that felony is, he is less likely to get hired. So I need to be able to have a company that I can hire these African-American males and work with them and deal with their issues because I understand and have black strong men around them to help him overcome. So that we have a reentry program that'll be successful.
What's stopping you from doing it?
This is what's stopping me from doing it. Guess what? 8 years ago, when Ken Blackwell ran for governor, I was working on a reentry program with him and several of his top aides for our prison system, and plus trying to deal with the things in the state of Ohio that have to do with felonies. Guess what? They voted in a gentleman who did 4 years in the state, a white Democrat, that did nothing for black people, did nothing with black people.
Hold on, he don't even like black folks.
Don't even like them, and guess what? All of that
you know
was
what they sound
up.
Like?
Yeah, most of these drugs.
Y'all sound like some angry black folks.
Oh, yeah. Well, guess what? I am angry.
Because
I'm sick of you getting punked. And you thinking that it's supposed to be that way? That's the problem.
Here's another thing. You're making this individual.
No. I'm not talking to you directly. It ain't about you. You're one guy.
Hold on.
All these drug laws that put black young males away for crack cocaine as compared to cocaine for white years, these are all done by liberals.
Anytime you can't get a CDL because you got a felony and you can't become a barber because they don't want you to use a switchblade, you know something's wrong.
That's liberalism.
Those
are liberal ideas.
I gotta take a break. I'll be right back.
No,
mandatory sentencing.
Those are European ideas. They're not. See, that's where you guys go off the rails. When you're talking about this capitalist society, there is no difference between a white liberal or a white conservative. There's no difference.
That's true.
Because the whole system is based
on
white supremacy.
Issues. There is a difference between it, but it depends on what the issue is.
It depends on the issue.
Tracy and Jeff sound like they just some black folks that's been mistreated by Democrats, and they want revenge.
But more so, like when it comes to the white liberals, they're more of the academic type who don't really believe in church values or like any type of values that have to do with any kind of religion, whereas the conservative Republican types are more of the church-going, business people type people, and they
that's
represent
because,
more of the corporate interest.
That's because everybody is different. All blacks are not the same. No, some blacks don't want to be, don't like, don't. The Republicans are not showing them what they want to see. That's quite obvious.
Yeah.
And because you because you tried to do something, and it just happened to have been a Democrat that the.
We can let these names go, Republican, conservatives, and liberal. They're different whites controlling different industries.
Right.
And so,
yeah.
as long as that's not threatened, that's where the gray area is. They will not allow any of those industries to be infiltrated to any degree.
The whole thing is based on white supremacy.
Liberal.
Correct.
There are liberal inspired programs.
So.
There are liberal-inspired programs that do help black businesses. And there are liberal-inspired programs that do help people coming out of prisons. A whole lot of them.
But the main thing that the black community needs to do, they need to build an economic forum within their own community so they're able to establish small businesses, teach people how to manage businesses. That's going to be the most important thing for them going forward.
That goes
because there's a lot of
too,
people who are not going to be able to work in the workplace because they do have a criminal background. They're not going to be able to get the regular jobs that everybody else gets. So they're going to have to do something that's going to be more of an entrepreneurial nature.
Well, that's what me and Michigan Man was talking about earlier, that you need to start inspiring children to go into these fields
early on
in the elementary school year. We always talking about programs for somebody who don't made a mistake. Well, put something there in place so they don't make those mistakes.
But when it comes to certain academic subjects like engineering or science, the children have to have a very strong
Put it in place. That's all you got to do.
You can steer young African American children into engineering and science. They don't have to come with no subset of skills to say they're going to be scientists. All you need to do is put the infrastructure in place and look at India.
Yeah.
All you have to do is put the infrastructure in place.
Yeah, that's basically what India did. I mean, they have specialized schools, specialized engineering schools over there.
You have organizations here like the National Society of Black Engineers. They do that.
But the thing is, you have to do it through a charter school system because the public school system would not support something like that.
You can do it through charter school systems if you want to.
Matter of fact, the thing is, blacks have to have the organizational skills to be able to put those types of institutes together.
To
follow the model of an India or a China and to put those engineering institutes together like you have in those countries, which is the reason why they're able to produce so many engineers in this country.
That's why I mentioned that at Motet for charter school out of Philadelphia. That's one of the best coach football teams I've seen in a long time.
But one thing African-Americans have to start to do is get away from the emphasis on sports solely. They have to get more into academics. And they concentrate too much on football and basketball too much. They need to concentrate on these other areas of life that African-Americans aren't able to be represented in properly.
If you follow the model of setting up those institutions yourself, that's just the culture. That'll be the culture of the school. So again, a lot of those little ancillary problems or get solved within that institutional structure. Now, let me say this. The reason you can't go the charter school route, and I know you have some good black charter schools, is because the control of the charter schools ultimately is still at the state level. Now, and we can go to any state, most of your charter schools are owned by white.
It's a white company that's getting state-funded grants to actually run the charter school.
But anybody can have a charter school in Michigan, man. And I agree.
No, wait a minute.
Yes, you can. That's the way it's charter laws
written. You have to be approved by the state to have one.
Hold on.
You have to have state approval.
That's correct. And there's only certain institutions that are sanctioned by the state to approve charter schools. If anybody can,
and that's public. That's public school. Well, Michigan, man. Listen, you there in Michigan?
One, man.
Call Inseroma up there in Detroit. Are they not a private charter school?
You're not telling me nothing.
Is Timbuktu not a private charter school in Michigan? In Detroit?
Listen, what I told you was that they have to be sanctioned by a state body, which is ultimately by whites. Now,
What you shouldn't say is that you can't. Okay, well, what you're saying is that it's difficult to put that type of curriculum together at the state level.
You have to do it more at a private charter level.
Michigan, man.
Okay.
Go ahead and finish.
If you want to develop it the way you want to, the state may not approve of all of it.
347-945-5229. Call in now to talk to Tracy and friends on News Talk 600 WSOM.
Telephone, you know it ain't nothing to drop a couple stacks on you. Want it, you can get it, my dear. $5 million home, drop business, I swear. Yeah, I want your body, need your body. Long as you got me, you won't need nobody. You want it, I got it, go get it, I buy it. Tell mother broke nigga, be quiet.
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. It's 10:39 here on the 5th of September 2014. Hope you're having a good day today. I'm looking at what's going on across the globe. I'm looking at what's going on across the country. I'm paying attention to the urgency of trying to get people to understand that you're going to have to grow up. Things are changing. And you may not see the change, but they're changing. And because they're changing, you're going to be affected by it. And if you don't prepare, it's going to harm you. Our young people, our young girls, and those of you who know me, I am concerned about the community in which I come out of. You know, I am a black female who loves being black. I embrace who I am and all the ancestry and heritage that flows through the blood in my veins, and I believe God has blessed us to become greater. But you can't become greater if you don't get trained, if you don't get learned. And if you don't have any knowledge, you're going to die. And so what's happening is in our community, we are dying on the vine and we're killing ourselves, and we don't even know it. And when I say this, I'm watching the commute, the mayor, as Michigan man says, the majority,
majority community.
I'm watching. We think they think about us. Everything that goes on with them is because of the hue of our skin, and we think that they look at us automatically. And look with us with disdain. And I have come to find out, you don't have to worry about them right now, because ain't none of them really thinking about you.
No.
And if you quit thinking about them, we're going to be all right. But you need to get yours, because they're going to get theirs.
But also,
And I know that, yeah, that we got more white people on welfare. We got more white people to sell drugs. We got more white people to do drugs. But disproportionately by population, I should not have 50% of incarceration and almost the 70% in some areas when I only make up 12% of the population. See, disproportionately per capita, that's some crazy numbers. I should not be disproportionately underemployed based upon my numbers. We got white people that are unemployed? Absolutely. But per capita, you can't make up 12% and then make up 20% of unemployment when they coming down to 6.9 and you still at 20 and your children are at 40. See, and you don't have a job to give them. And the more money we get, they make sure that money goes in the hands of stupidity, because when we get money, all we do is go give it back to them. So that's all it does is fuel capitalism. And if you don't have anything to sell, then you don't have anything. So what good is a Rolls Royce going to do you, preacher man, when you don't go to a black dealer to buy it?
But what the black ministers need to do, they need to speak up and speak against this hip-hop music, all of these negative aspects of black culture. They need to start some type of economic forum inside these black churches so that black businesses can be developed in the neighborhoods. They need to preach to the black fathers to stay with the family unit. These are things that need to be talked about. They're not being talked about by Al Sharpton and Reverend Jackson.
And
but
they never
these
will.
Are the things that will help the these are the things that will help the whole of black people to get better, because what's happening now is the immigrants are eventually going to come in and they're going to take the jobs from black people.
They
and it's going
are.
To get to
it's
a point
late.
That, you know, it's going to get to a point where if they don't do something drastic, the majority of black people are probably going to be shut out of the economy.
John, it's done already. I'm sorry. The African-American growth jobs since 2006 has been at 1.6%. You know how much a percentage it is for the Hispanic? 6.4%.
No, how much is the percentage?
6.4% they've grown.
But also, yeah, but it's not just the Hispanics. I mean, you have to deal with all of these Asians are starting to flood inside these cities now.
Listen, it don't matter who you got to – let me say this. It doesn't matter. I agree with you. Yeah, you have to deal with all of that. But here's the point. Then why is your black president getting ready to bring 5 million more into the country?
But let me say this, Jeff. I'm past – no, let me say this.
I'm not past that because that's going to destroy
– Hold on. Listen. I'm past President Barack Obama.
Well,
I'm so far past him that he is a non-issue. But what I am in concerned about is what you going to do. Because Eric Holder going in and trying to make sure that Ferguson can get some more black police is not going to help the people in other parts of the country. Because, see, educated black males, informed black males, don't have to worry about getting shot.
Nope.
Because they know how to deal with the situation and make sure that their emotions don't get the best of them. Because I have some very, very successful people around me that are African-American males who have been harassed by white cops, and they knew how to deal with it then, and they definitely knew how to deal with it on the back end.
Well, Tracy,
so
if he really cared, he
would have
been there 6 years ago.
He would have been there 6 years ago. He would have been there. He is a non-issue. So he is like water under the bridge, and he's like water on the back of a duck. He can just go away, do whatever he's going to do, implode on his own, because he got his, and he's going to get his. But at the end of the day, what's going to happen to people that look like you and I? And right now, if you look at what's going on in the Middle East is erupting, and it's coming to a place near you. Don't think that it's not. And we need to grow up, and as John said out of Philadelphia, we need to start talking about these things and quit prophesying about a Cadillac.
In a big house.
Because it ain't about a house. It ain't about a Cadillac, but it's about family. It's about your parents. It's about your sisters and brothers. It's about your children, and it's about your husband and wife. We need to quit buying into every kind of cockamamie idea, like it's a civil rights issue, like same sex. If you want to be same sex, sex on your own same. But it's not your issue. Your issue is you still got black boys still getting murdered in the street. You still got black people still being incarcerated. And when one black kid dies, another one goes to prison. You get a twofer.
I mean,
And hold on, John. And as a matter of fact, we need to tell our young ladies to keep their legs closed until they buy the whole cow.
Yeah.
Because that don't make no sense. And we need to tell young men that if you go drop a baby, you need to take care of the baby that you got. And if you can't preach it, then you need to keep your legs and keep your pants up. Because right now, we are dying.
Yeah.
And what makes it so bad, we don't even know it. And they're going to mobilize the vote.
That's what I'm talking about. And that's why I said that what I said about Covina, man. I know he probably had to go to work.
He's still there.
But my point is, you know, we're sitting up here looking at historical things. I put a post up, 88 pyramids throughout the world. Pyramids are actually powerhouses when you look at it. Who put that together, and why did we lose that knowledge from those pyramids? Now, my point is this. In our black community, as soon as slavery ended, black people poured into the middle class in America. Poured. What happened since then? Yes, we had Jim Crow. We had the black codes. Okay, but why did it demoralize you to where you did not take care of your families later in the 60s? You let the government start taking care of your family.
We have to also understand, and I'm a Michigan man, and I agree with this, and I believe Pianki also. Society, and this is what I told the 440, and you guys heard me say this to him when he calls. We know that the systemic racism of this nation has caused a lot of what we're going through.
Absolutely.
You got to take it for what it is. And when I take my break at the top of the hour, when I come back, I'm going to play a clip from Muhammad Ali that really brings us to root. Because a friend of mine brought it to my attention, a white guy brought it to my attention the other day. So I understand that. But what I am saying is we cannot go find another world to go live in. And I'm not trying to find the all-black America. So since I have to cohabitate in the United States of America, then I'm going to be a part of the Constitution of the United States of America, and I'm going to involve myself with the we the people, and we are going to actually become a part of the American dream. But you can't dream if you don't wake up and work.
Yeah.
What,
Jeffrey? And really, the situation has gotten so bad, you know, African-American men used to be able to go on the corner and sell drugs to make their money if they couldn't get a job. But now even those aspects of the economy are being taken over by the Mexicans and people from the, like, different types of people that happen to come from the islands, from the Caribbean, people who are Hispanic in origin. They're taking over those industries from black men who were criminals. So on both sides, both on the underground economy and the regular economy, black people are going to be shut out completely. And they're just going to be a lost people inside of America, and they're going to have nowhere to go.
And we don't. And we need to understand that we don't have anywhere to go.
It says it's as though one of our callers says it's as if there are two teams on the field, but your own team keeps playing interference. And that's what it is. That's exactly what it is. And I feel so bad. And Covina, man, please forgive me. I don't mean to call you anything out of your name for real. I'm trying to make you realize what's going on here. And you keep saying we don't have credibility because for some reason you think that if we use the political aspects of one party, we can't possibly speak to that which is real in our life and community. I'm a black man. I don't want to be anything else but a black man. And so
every year I put on a particular show because I want to have black community come together along with other communities as well so people get to know each other. That's what I do. I put on this show every single year for 22 years. Do you understand that that builds relationships? Do you understand that that builds the ability for us all to pay attention to each other and listen a little bit? Because
why does it take Chris Wallace on Fox News to get Jesse Jackson and Ben Carson to sit down and talk to each other?
And Ben Carson intellectually just destroys the intellect of a Jesse Jackson that has nothing to do with nothing but him money grubbing. And if you don't want to believe that, when he went down there to Ferguson, he tried to make money, and they had booed him right off the street. Now, that's what I'm talking about. They don't show up.
Let me say this,
Jim. Yes, sir.
Let me say this. The thing is, black people are more than capable of speaking for themselves. We have a specific disagreement with white people and white supremacy. We have it's well documented. We have a disagreement. They are our mortal enemies, and we are theirs. We do not share, break bread with white supremacy. We are at war with them. They are at war with us. They're winning. They're destroying us. That is written all over the walls from Berkeley Center to San Francisco and everywhere. But, right. I'm just outlining this.
Listen. If that be the case, if I know that you got a gun, and I know that you're trying to shoot me, let me finish. And so why would I give you the bullet?
Okay, I don't know where you're going with that. I'm just trying to make a point.
That's why I mute you, because you just Covina man, if I know that you got a gun and I know that you want to shoot me and you want to talk about white supremacy, see, I know that you don't like me, and I know the system is working in your favor. I know all that. Why in the world would I go and give you the bullets to put in your gun to kill me? If you don't understand that, this conversation with you is now over.
You're mixing things up. The people psychologically damaged. That's why they do stupid stuff. That's why they twerking. That's why they doing all this crazy stuff. 15 kids out of kid out of wedlock. That's damage. That's psychological damage. That's the problem. We already knew that.
You're voting for the people to keep that going.
I'm trying to talk about something specific.
Voting for the people to do that to you all the time, number one. Number two, you don't ask anything in return. And therefore, just like Bill Clinton said when he got out of office, why didn't you do more for the African-American community? He said, because they never asked me.
He just said
but
that the people are psychologically damaged, what would you expect more of?
Well, this is what I expect more. Why ain't I giving in to that?
Hold on. They didn't ask for anything, but where is the people that you always follow? Why didn't they ask for you?
Now,
Pianchi, the same numbers that you and I have. We know the statistics. Maxine Waters knows the statistics. We know about economic development. We know about education, and we know about poverty. We know about job inequality. We understand all that. We understand the economics that market measures actually drive the price and not minimum wage. So you just don't increase the minimum wage if you're going to increase the price. We understand that. So why in the world would the Congressional Black Caucus, who's supposed to be representing us, because we always vote for Pookie, Ray Ray, and Shaniqua every time they run, why would we not make sure that they ask for us?
Covina, man.
You said that people were psychologically damaged.
Nope.
I was muted.
Let me answer the question. Because Jeff was trying to get back to the issue, and I was trying to say, he's trying to say why people vote. That's the thing is, black people, like I was trying to say, are capable of representing themselves and their issues, right? They're capable. We don't have to go through a middleman. We're capable of doing that ourselves. So when black folks have an issue, right, they want minimum wage. Black folks will say that. Tracy will come along and say, no, black folks, you do not know how to represent yourself. I'm going to tell you, from my perspective, what you're supposed to do. We're not listening to that. We already have the answer to your question, Tracy.
Black people.
Listen, no, wait a minute, stop, because I got 3 minutes before I go to the top of the hour. Listen to this. Minimum wage is the minimum. You don't need the minimum wage when you got a skill. So if you give me an education, I don't have to talk to you about minimum wage because you're going to want what I got. The problem is we keep on trying to flip burgers for more money. And we don't want to go get an education, and we don't want to put in the time to get what we have to get so that we can actually become a master at what we're doing. Remember, this country was built by the blood, the sweat, and the knowledge of African Americans. So don't think that you're inferior. But right now, when you talk to King's English, you think that you're talking white. No, hold on, Pianki.
Let me answer
the
question.
Right. Right now, you hold on. You are a construction man. You have overcome obstacles. You said you have your own business. You've gone out for bid. You've been slighted. People come in and try to find the man. They ask everybody around you but you. But you made it. There are people that are before us that made it. The problem is we haven't told that to our children. And our young people are growing up, busting a sag, looking crazy, don't get an education, smoking reefer, and don't want to achieve anything. And we haven't given them the tools to do so. And our black men have ejected themselves from the community. And if they're not incarcerated, they're on their way.
Well, let me respond to that. You do have students that's working minimum wage to try to pay for their books and classroom material. So we can't say all. That's where the problem comes in.
Yeah, but the whole thing is that if you increase that wage to $15 an hour, the small business person, the mom and pop business, is not
going
to compete.
It's already
that
higher in North Dakota, Philadelphia, John. Minimum wage is higher than the local level in North Dakota because of the boom is above that $15 an hour.
But that's that region of North Dakota. That's not going to be true across the country. If you do it nationwide, the small business person is not going to be able to pay that wage, and you're going to, as a result, it's going to start to create the formation of different types of monopolies in certain industries. They're going to have set prices that the consumer is going to have to pay. Most consumers are going to have to pay more if they have to pay their workers high wages of $15 to $20 an hour, because when you add the taxes on to that, that comes out to $25 to almost $30 an hour.
Well, the government's going
to
collect more money.
You're paying somebody to do a very small job.
The federal government is going to collect more money in taxes, whether federal and local government is going to collect more money in taxes. But what I'm saying is that to say that she's making a statement that they need to go out and get it. Well, you got children, young students that's working minimum wage job part time,
but not
in order to carry.
But not everybody is
their
a student,
education.
Let him finish, man.
To carry their education. Some people can't get no other jobs. I see elderly people that try to get minimum wage job in order to supplement their retirement.
But also,
so at
the same time,
it's also,
you know, when it comes to students can get work-study jobs that can be affiliated with
the school.
That's
what the minimum wage is, man, I keep telling you.
And those work-study jobs will be able to supplement the price of their tuition, their books, their room and board, and so forth. So it's not that students have to run the McDonald's. Not all students have to run the McDonald's and Pizza Hut to get jobs.
John, in a lot of cases, students can get jobs.
John, you got 30,000 students. Let me tell you something. At LSU, you got 30,000 students. So where is 30,000 students at LSU in that Baton Rouge area? I ain't talking about the other Louisiana colleges and universities. Where are they going to get work-study jobs for 30,000 students? So they go to minimum wage jobs also. This is some common sense in this, man.
But also, when you have an institution that big, there are different types of ancillary jobs,
including minimum wage,
with
man.
A university that students
can
hold.
What is it about what I'm saying you don't understand? There's nothing wrong with those children using minimum wage.
But what I'm saying to you is when you build $15 into a wage structure that way, that builds complacency of the average worker
to stay
in that particular position, and they're not gaining any new skills. They're not trying to go out and try to improve their skill level so that eventually they would be able to get something that would pay more.
Let's look at this. The people that utilize a minimum wage job, you got retired people who supplement their income. You got students who's helping to forego the cost of books and tuition. And you got those who are down on their luck, can't get no better.
Yeah,
now what?
But,
what does that leave you?
But
the first two,
but,
do you
what,
disagree?
But,
wait a minute.
But nothing.
Do you disagree with the
that,
first two?
But if you
John,
allow
you're talking
that,
to yourself.
But,
I ain't listening to you.
But if you allow the minimum wage to go to $15 an hour nationwide, the mom and pop business owner is not going to be able to compete with that federal wage. They're going to have to close up shop. That's going to limit the amount of competition in the marketplace. Then you're going to get these large industries like Walmart and Home Depot. They're going to be able to gobble up whole industries. And what eventually is going to happen is the consumer is going to have to pay the price for it. The consumer is going to pay more at the time they purchase their products because of the fact that there's no competition in the marketplace. You have a large store which has a monopoly over certain products.
John, let me say this, man, because I don't want to get stuck on that minimum wage argument, but I just want to say, like, you have your own household. You're trying to run your household the way you want it running. Along comes some guy that tried to tell you, no, this is not the way you should run your household. I'm going to tell you how to run your household. You would be highly offended. You would not listen to somebody who's going to try to come in and tell you how to run your household. That's what it is with these Jeff and Tracy's of the world. They're trying to come into the black community or to the black people and say, black folks, this is how you should vote. This is the political opinions that you should have and that you should be pushing. But the black people, I was trying to make the point, they can speak for themselves. They run their own household. They can have the issues that they care about, whether it's minimum wage. I don't want to get specific into the details of minimum wage. They can be minimum wage. It can be voting rights. It can be, you know, the time of the traffic lights. I don't care what it is. They have their own opinions. I'm saying validate black folks' own opinions. This is what they want to vote for, and it doesn't agree with the Republican Party. That's it.
That's
yeah.
right. If they don't want to vote for them, they don't want to vote for them.
Well, that's why. But that's why I said that black people need to go independent at this point.
347-945-5229.
They need to be able to swing their vote, Republican or Democrat, based on
issues. And now here's Tracy Winbush.
I ask questions. I travel these countries of white people live in my land, and I always ask my mother. I said, Mother, how come is everything white? I said, why is Jesus white with blonde hair and blue eyes? Why is the Lord's Supper all white men? Angels are white. Hope and Mary and even the angels. I said, Mother, when we die, do we go to heaven? She said, naturally, we go to heaven. I said, well, what happened to all the black angels when they took the picture? I said, oh, I know. If the white folks was in heaven too, then the black angels were in the kitchen preparing the milk and honey. Listen, you quit saying that, boy. I was always curious, and I always wondered why I had to die to go to heaven. Why I couldn't have pretty cars and good money and nice homes now. Why do I have to wait till I die to get milk and honey? And I said, Mama, I don't want no milk and honey. I like steaks and I said, milk and honey is a laxative anyway. They have a lot of bathrooms in heaven. So anyway, I was always curious. I always wondered why. You know, Tarzan is the king of the jungle in Africa. He was white. White man. I saw this white man swinging around Africa with a diaper on, hollering, oh! Do you all see Tarzan over here?
Right.
Tarzan? And all the Africans, so he's beating them up and breaking the lion's jaw. And here's Tarzan talking to the animals. And the Africans been there for centuries, and he yet can't talk to the animals. Only talk to the stupid animals. I always wonder why Miss America was always white. All the beautiful brown women in America, beautiful suntans, beautiful shapes, all tight complexions, but she always was white. And Miss World was always white. And Miss Universe was always white. And then they got some stuff called White House cigars, white swan soap, king white soap, white cloud tissue paper, white rain hair rinse, white tornado flow wax. Everything was white. And the angel food cake was the white cake, and the devil food cake was the chocolate cake. White. I always wondered, you know, and the president lived in the White House. And Mary had a little lamb, his feet as white as snow, and snow white. And everything was white. Santa Claus was white. And everything bad was black. The little ugly duckling was the black duck, and the black cat was the bad luck. And if I threaten you, I'm going to blackmail you. So Mama wanted to call it white male. They lied, too. I was always curious. And then this is when I knew something was wrong. When the Olympic gold medal in Rome met me, Olympic champion, the Russian standing right here, and the Pole right here. Is Poland considered a communist country?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm defeating America's so-called threats or enemies. And the flag is going, ton, 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 ton. I'm standing so proud. Ton, 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 ton. And I done whooped the world for America. Ton, 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 ton. I took my gold medal, thought I'd invented something. I said, man, I know I'm going to get my people freedom there. I'm the champion of the whole world, Olympic champion. I know I can eat downtown now. And I went downtown that day, had my big old medal on, and went in the restaurants. At that time, black things weren't integrated. The black folks couldn't eat downtown. And I went downtown, I sat down, and I said, you know, a cup of coffee, a hot dog. He said, the lady said, we don't serve Negroes. I was so mad. I said, I don't eat them either. Just give me a cup of hot dog. I'm the Olympic gold medal. When 3 days ago I fought for this country in Rome, I won the gold medal, and I'm going to eat. The manager, I heard her tell the manager, and she says, he said, well, I'm not the man that he's got to go out. Anyway, I didn't raise the money, they put me out. And I had to leave that restaurant in my hometown where I went to church and served in their Christianity and fought and daddy fought in all the wars. Just won the gold medal and couldn't eat downtown. I said, something's wrong. And from then on, I've been a Muslim.
Yes, I was going to ask you about what attracted you to the
truth, but the teachings of Elijah Muhammad on how black people have been brainwashed, how they've been taught to love white and hate black, how we've been robbed of our names in slavery, we were robbed of our culture, we were robbed of our true history, so it left us a walking dead man. So you got black people in all white country, and they don't know nothing about themselves, they don't speak the language, they're just mentally dead. And this is happening all over the world. But the first place that will rise will be the black people in America, and then the rest of them will. But it's going. I was one who heard the truth. And when I heard the truth about my name was not Cassius Clay, I know a black man in America named John Hawkins. Now, you know who John Hawkins was. He was a slave trader from England. But the white people at that time, if one had five slaves and his name was Jones, they would be called Jones property. If you was auctioned off to Mr. Smith, your name was Smith. Identifying you as property of certain masters. So now that I'm free, now that I'm no longer a slave, then I want a name of my ancestors, Muhammad Ali. Like a Chinese, how could a Chinese look named Robert Smith? how would a German look named Edward Goldberg? A Jewish name. So when I heard that we don't have our names, we don't speak our true Arabic language, we were robbed of Islam, our true religion, and we've been made deaf and blind.
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. And I said I was going to play this. A friend of mine brought it to my attention the other day with Muhammad Ali, and, you know, they called it the funny interview. That's how it's labeled. I didn't think it was funny because I thought it was very, very real in a lot of aspects. I don't agree with all of it, but I do agree with, you know, the whitewashing of America, and that's what I called it. And with that said, we have to recognize that it is important that we we know that there things have gone, and it has been ingrained throughout. I know throughout our history that white is good and black is bad. And if you subscribe, buy into this, it will hinder your ability to thrive. But if you ever break free and understand that black is not bad, but white's not bad either, but black is not bad, black is good, but you choose how good your black is, then you can achieve something. But what's happening right now in our community is we're manifesting a indoctrination that is not who we are. And it's being propagated by policy, and you're assisting in it because of your apathy and bad teaching. So, Kavina, I disagree with you wholeheartedly and most stuff that you say. But you have to understand, I know that we've been whitewashed. The question is, do I have to buy into the washing of the white clothes?
Can I add one thing?
Yes.
Not knowing what something is for and why it was created, because Kavina, man, he was very, you know, black people want a minimum wage. And so, therefore, black people don't know that they don't want minimum wage, because guess what? Minimum wage was created to keep black people out of the workforce, because they know that the people coming out of the South were coming into Chicago and northern cities, and the union leaders up there said, this was the 1900s, I do believe, said the white man is not going to change his level of living for these niggers coming out of the South. Now, I'm sorry to say it in those terms, but that's what he said. And so, therefore, they instituted a minimum wage so that that's the only thing you can work for. And they wouldn't hire you at that minimum wage. Every time we raise minimum wage, black youth lose. Every
single time.
Can I say
something, Tracy?
Yeah.
Hold on, Pianki.
Every single time you have thousands of black people fall out. Not just that there's some white people, but primarily black people. Black youth.
I think they...
South Carolina. Whoa, I will call you up. Don't play. Go ahead, South Carolina. Your mic is on. We haven't heard from you this morning. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you all doing?
Good.
I'm totally agreeing with what Jeff is saying. And if you artificially raise the minimum wage in the name of quote-unquote equality or making somebody's life better, it doesn't make anybody's life better. It just makes everybody else's life miserable, because somebody's got to pay for that. Somebody's got to pay for that minimum wage raise when they're raising that minimum wage, and it turns out it's going to be the consumer. I don't care how you slice it. A business is going to have to absorb that cost somewhere, and it may be somebody losing, instead of having a $7.25 job, they'll have a no-dollar job because they're going to be laid off. That position will be eliminated in order to absorb this cost. So this is not a
Absolutely.
Good thing. It shouldn't be. It should not be raised artificially. It should come
from
a natural attrition. You know.
And let me say this. Hold on, Eric. And let me say this. We're not looking for minimum wage. We're looking for livable wages for the job in which I do.
Right.
Like I said when I opened the show, if you did not hear me, there are corporations today, especially retail and banking, they actually make a threshold for you to get a raise, that is which they try to get you to achieve. It's like, I don't know if you've seen that Geico commercial when she's trying to grab that dollar and they keep on holding it up.
You almost got it.
That's what I'm saying. And they make it close enough to where you think that you can make it, but far enough that you will never achieve it based upon what's going on inside of their own stores or inside of their branches. Because, see, I don't buy insurance if I don't want insurance on my jewelry. I don't buy what you want me to buy when I'm looking at jewelry. I buy what I like. So when you base your average selling, you won't give me a raise until I get what you want me to sell at a certain number, even though I'm selling it in smaller pieces. Then you punish me and tell me that I can't get a raise. If I show up to work every day, I do what I'm supposed to do. I'm not stealing from you. I'm selling, and I'm doing the job. Don't create a threshold that's superficial. And that's where the problem lies. The problem does not lie in people who are going to work and not getting paid, you know, a higher wage. They're going to work, and they're working, and we're not paying them for the work that they do. That's where in the problem lies. Good morning, Diva.
Good morning. Can you hear
me? Yes.
Oh, okay. I just want to ask a question because I've always worked minimum wage prior to getting married and having my daughter. How is it that you can tell me, especially you, Jeff, that minimum wage will always affect our black youth when, in fact, I lived through several minimum wage increases and have never lost a job?
That doesn't mean you, Diva. Black males do lose jobs. And the CBO said themselves, if you raise this minimum wage $2 an hour, 500,000 jobs will go away. Because you have a structure of businesses across the nation that they are not all equal. And I know they're trying to equal everything out, and it doesn't work. You can't equal out the nation. This is what's going on. Wait a minute.
Hold on, Eric. Hold on, Diva. Let me finish.
Okay, when you raise the minimum wage, you are falsely raising what it costs to get a particular job done. And therefore, a small business cannot absorb that. And if you hate Walmart and you hate Costco's for being so big and keeping all their money, Costco pays a little more than Walmart, then you really hate the small businessman who's in it just to take care of his family. He's selling pizzas. He's selling wings and salad. He's selling something else. He can't raise the prices to ever compensate to $12 an hour or anything like that. It doesn't work.
Hold on, John. Go ahead, Eric, and then Pianki, and then John.
Here's the thing, though. Most entry-level positions that require some sort of skill set start at about $15 an hour. So why would you want to make the minimum wage that much? What incentive are you giving anybody at all to get an education?
Barack Obama is
hold,
what he's
Jeff,
doing.
Jeff, I didn't call you up
okay.
yet. Hold on. You got to play fair too. Go ahead. Hold on. Who did I call next? I think it was
Pianki.
John.
Okay,
Pianki,
it was an economic study of McDonald's in Harlem, New York. They found that the level of competition for jobs at McDonald's was so high, over 50% of the applicants did not get the job. If you raise the minimum wage up to $15 an hour, you are going to increase the competition at those fast food joints that happen to be in those inner city neighborhoods to a level where the kids won't get the jobs. Because you're gonna have too many people who are trying to get the job. If these businesses find that they have people in their prime working age between the ages of 18 to 49 who are working at these fast food restaurants, what these businesses need to do is give some type of educational type of credit to these individuals so that they can get some type of job skills so that they can go out and they can try to get a better job. But don't try to make them complacent in these fast food jobs.
That's definitely a wrong thing to do.
Stop.
Hold on. Go ahead, Pianki.
According to the Bureau of Labor Statistics, what I'm hearing y'all say is just not accurate. Those age and gender 25 years and older, total paid hourly rates, you got $60,838,000. The number that's working at or below minimum wage is 1.6 million. When you break it down per race, it's pretty much even across the board. You got black men, 208,000 at or below the minimum wage. No, I'm sorry, 121,000 at or below the minimum wage. Women, 155,000 at or below the minimum wage. Another point, as I mentioned earlier.
I don't need you to go that many points. I need to know what you just said. Because, see, what you just said doesn't sound – I said. My question is –
the Bureau of Labor Certificate.gov, www.blf.gov.
I didn't ask you that. I didn't ask you that. My question to you is, are you telling – we're at or below minimum wage in our jobs, working where? Doing what?
What do you mean work – you mean – what do you mean working where?
If you're making
it's
minimum wage –
it's saying the number of people that's working minimum wage. This table is
okay.
Pretty long. It probably gets to that.
Pionky,
I could go down
Pionky,
and find
I'm,
out
what
exactly
I'm
tr-
what I'm trying to find.
What
remember,
would you like for me to find out?
Pionky, minimum wage does not pay bills. Minimum wage does not take care of a family. I saw something yesterday that says
but
anybody
what about
working
elderly?
40 hours. Pionky, anybody working 40 hours a week should not be living in poverty. And what I'm saying is you cannot be working 40 hours a week on a minimum wage job and taking care of a family. But you're not supposed to be. You should not be in a minimum wage job trying to take care of your family. And if you are, you should be trying to go get an education and or having a supplement so that you can actually get out of that. Minimum wage is not supposed to be a living.
I have a question.
Could I answer that?
So
it also showed it too, Tracy.
Hold on, Diva. Hold on. What'd you say?
It also showed the number of hours that they're working also. And here's and another point, you got elderly people who supplement their retirement with minimum wage. You got students who are working minimum hours at minimum wage in order to supplement, to make money to pay for their books and help pay for their tuition.
Pionkis. Listen,
they go away.
Listen, they are if they're in school and they're supplementing
but
their income. That's another thing.
Population.
John, I've got block playing with you right now. What I'm saying is, minimum wage, it should be going by the job, not by you showing up. If you're at McDonald's and you're still making minimum wage and you've been there 5 years, there's a problem. If you're trying to take
maybe
care of your
still
family.
In
Pionky, listen, if you're still in school and you're working minimum wage, there's still a problem. Because if you've got 3 years of schooling or 5 years of schooling and you're still working minimum wage and you haven't learned anything that you can go actually go and get a better job, then guess what? You are in the wrong field.
That's not true. You have to pay for your books, Tracy.
Pionky,
my grandson's high school books cost me $3,000 a year. His high school books.
Why did your high school books cost you $3,000 a year?
My
that means you were in a private school.
High school books and his AP books
Pionky,
cost almost $3,000.
I'm done with that. You're in a private school. Dude, you can't talk about going to a private school and telling me you're working minimum wage and you can't afford it. You knew that walking in the door that if your parents can't afford to sit to buy the books in a private school, then you shouldn't be there.
Here, One thing I have to say here.
Hold on, Diva.
CBO says that if you raise the minimum wage to $10.10, you immediately lose 500,000 workers. If you raise it to $9, you lose only 100,000. The thing is this is what I keep trying to tell people. This is the Congressional Budget Office. This is not a partisan group of people. These are people that crunch numbers, and they're there to tell you what it's going to do to you. So, therefore, when you hear the president still saying this, he's created so many million part-time jobs, okay, in his presidency. That's what he's trying to make up for because, oh, well, if we raise the raise, they'll have more money to spend. And no, they'll destroy businesses, and they'll raise black unemployment exponentially where it is right now, Pionky. I don't know where the heck you get those
he got
specifics.
Labor statistics. And the breakdown, and I don't know what year it's from, but
yeah.
I do know this. You cannot raise the minimum wage on small business. Yeah, Walmart can absorb. Hold on. Walmart can absorb $15 an hour.
Sure can.
But you have to understand, when Walmart goes up $15 an hour, that iron that you pay $20 now is going to be $30. It is what it is. and you'll still go in there because they buy and they go in and set their pricing. But your average place that actually hires you, everything has to go up. If your receptionist makes 15, remember, you used to call somewhere and you would talk to a person. Now you talk to a machine.
Right.
And then they ask you to dial 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So you don't have live receptionists. That's another job gone. Because you can't afford to pay it, and it's cheaper to buy the machine in the long run. We need to understand that. Michigan, go ahead.
Yeah, and now you guys are correct with the raising of the minimum wage. The business, I don't understand. It seemed like they should have had a different formula. And it almost should have went by the number of employees. Because that normally will tell you what a business's bottom line is. Now, for instance, like you said, the Walmarts and stuff, that's correct. They could afford to pay, you know, that amount of money. But, you know, see, when these corporations get so big, and I don't want to take away from anybody's ingenuity and what they had to go through to start their businesses, but when you have a corporation like a McDonald's, now, these corporations are not being, it's not about ingenuity at this point. It's about controlling markets, monopolies and things of that nature. So to me, to hear those corporations hollering foul, that's just a game because they could afford to pay corporations like McDonald's. They could afford to raise the minimum wage. But
okay,
correct,
Michigan.
3 to 5 to 7 employees.
Michigan, listen, Michigan, Michigan, Michigan,
yeah,
Michigan. Let me say this to you. Listen, I will say unless you work at the McDonald's distribution center, which I don't think they have anymore because everything has been farmed out, I will say in the McDonald's quote-unquote corporation, I can almost guarantee you no one works at McDonald's corporation for minimum wage. No one, including the receptionist. But we fail to realize, hold on, McDonald's is a franchise. And so every franchise holder has independent workers. Those independent workers are paid by Tracy Winbush. They're not paid by McDonald's. So it may be Tracy Winbush, McDonald's, Youngstown. So I have to pay them out of what I have, not out of what McDonald's has. And as a matter of fact, as a franchisee holder, I not only have to buy you and pay for you, if I find a cheaper burger somewhere else, I can't use that burger because I can only buy McDonald's burgers.
That's right.
And I can only buy McDonald's burgers. Hold on. I can only buy McDonald's burgers from the McDonald's burger distributor. I can only buy the grease from the McDonald's burger. Hold on. If Coke comes by, hold up. If Coke comes by and tells me that they can give me a better deal and McDonald's Corporation has gone with Pepsi that year, I can't switch to Coke.
Okay, your point is taken, Tracy. Listen, those numbers have to be baked into the formulas when you're buying those franchises. So you're correct. The corporate side of McDonald's is going to have to give a little bit in order so that the franchise. I know they're not. So, but this
they
is
don't have
my
to.
Point. Right. Well, they're not because they're driven by the profit motive, which underneath all of what we're talking about is the problem. And you guys think free market capitalism is going to work. It's not.
But what I'm telling you is
we're still driven by the profit motive.
But, again, we're still driven by your shareholders, and when you don't make money, I'm going to pull my shares out of McDonald's, which is going to bankrupt Wall Street, which is another problem. Yeah, go ahead, Eric.
On a local level, what happened here was we have a local franchisee for Subway. He found an outlet to get just about all of his vegetables from locally. Because, he figured, hey, I can go ahead and buy local. Okay?
No.
He did it, and they threatened to shut the franchise down.
Absolutely not. They
were going to take the franchise from him. It was going to save him at least $1,000 a month. But they went, that's not the Subway brand. That's not what Subway does. No, you can't do that. Can't do it, Tracy.
Go ahead,
Listen,
Eric.
I don't like drive-thrus. They take too long and they mess up your order. So when I go to McDonald's, I go inside. I watch those employees and what they do
Everything is based on a timed system. You cannot, the burger goes in there, it cooks for a certain amount of time, it beeps, it comes out. The fryer is the same doggone way. In a few
years,
like
a you're
going to have robotic automated systems to go in there and do that for them. You'll
have
so many people in there maintaining those machines.
That's where you're going.
I have a, question.
Hold on, Diva. Hold on. That's where you're headed. And see, we fail to realize the more you control the market measures and the money and talk about inequality, and the more automation you're going to get. Go ask Delphi how many people are pushing a cart now inside a manufacturing plant. And let me tell you, those robots are very, very efficient. They don't take cigarette breaks. They don't take lunch breaks. And they move the system very, very smoothly based on automation.
They don't call off
the
sick.
The profit motive will drive you, Tracy, to the automation anyway. That has nothing to do with messing with the markets.
Yes, it does.
Wait a minute. You won't even let a person finish before you rattle off. Any corporation
but it's
with
the truth.
When you're working off of the profit motive, you're always looking for ways to cut back either in cost. So that sheer idea alone would push companies to go into getting robots to do jobs. Not that anybody's trying to mess with the minimum wage.
But listen,
that would happen anyway.
Let me say this. Listen, your large corporations, Walmart will always go to a jobless system, an automated system. But your small businesses, you push them into overspending on an automated system because they can no longer afford to have a person there. Go ahead, Diva.
Okay, my question is, is your argument against raising the minimum wage based solely on the type of job that is being performed in those low-wage let me finish my question. Or is it because when you say that, I look at it as those minimum wage jobs require you to work, most of them, 40 hours a week, do extra, do more than what is in your original duties, but yet they don't want to pay you for all the extra or working those 40 hours.
You were not here. Listen, I am a proponent. I am an activist on paying people for the job they do. Don't get it twisted. I keep on telling you the example of I tried to give the Board of Elections a 3% raise. For 13 people, it was going to cost $17,000, and they about lost their minds. And they had to rescind the raise for the job in which they do. I believe in paying people for being there at work and doing their job and making it efficient and effective. But I don't believe I'm supposed to pay you to show up, no matter what you do. That's where the income inequality comes from. Hold on. No, listen, listen to what I'm saying. When you go to work at McDonald's, if you've been there for 5 years and you're still making minimum wage, there is a problem there.
Okay, could you answer the question, Tracy?
Hey, Tracy.
Well, no, Pyongyi, wait a minute.
For raising minimum wage, yes or no?
I'm against raising minimum wage.
Okay, well, then just you don't have to call the rambling on.
But what?
Don't be confused. Listen, let me straighten it out, Diva. We're not against the minimum wage because of this. I kept saying this before on Facebook and on the radio. All jobs are not created equal. If you're sweeping up hair at the barbershop, that is a $5 an hour job. Okay, if you are sweeping up metal fragments at the local steel mill, that's a $15 an hour job. It's a huge difference in what you're doing.
Why?
You
can't just sweeping.
No. Just
based
both
on
sweeping.
Skill
one can die because they're sweeping. The other one is not going to die. If something falls on you in the steel mill and you got to get that metal out the way because it's going to get somebody else in trouble or destroy a $100,000 vehicle, you got to sweep that floor and sweep it right. There's a skill to it. There's sweepers out of GM that make $100,000 a year. They keep the stuff out of the works. That's worth that money to them. But it is not worth that to a freaking barber.
And you can't charge them the same.
They're not the same job. You can have a kid do that job at the barbershop.
Correct. Correct.
But you cannot hire a full-grown man to work. Wait a minute. You don't hire a full-grown man to come into a barbershop and sweep hair off the floor.
Hold on, Bianchi.
Not listening. Stop, Bianchi. You can't hire a full-grown man to sweep hair at the barbershop.
And you shouldn't be a full-grown man. And let me say this. And as a man, you shouldn't be looking for a minimum wage job at 35 years old to take care of your family.
That's the whole point of this minimum wage argument. You're killing small business. You're killing it.
And when
so if a person is working, stay at a McDonald's.
Diva, hold on. I'm
going to
call
hours.
You up. No.
Like
I think
you,
it was Eric.
Everybody's
Eric?
Against. Everybody wants to call corporations evil and greedy, but you're doing everything to make them more powerful.
Absolutely.
That's exactly.
Because all you're going to do is make them put everybody, all the small business,
out of business.
Which means because they cannot compete.
Which means the American dream is dead to certain people.
To most.
You don't realize how many small mom-and-pop businesses there are. Mom-and-pop businesses across this nation hire 80% of the people.
And that? Hello?
Yeah.
Okay.
Can I say something, Tracy?
Hold on, Bianchi.
Jeff and Tracy, if you notice, I've always had the same argument. You're absolutely correct, and that's why the purpose of government in a capitalist society, one of the purposes, should always be to make certain that there's a continuous stream of competition to larger businesses. If they just did that, that would make certain that your mom and pops and those aspiring entrepreneurs, you always have a new stream. That's how you use government in a capitalistic free market society.
Okay, hold on. Let me say this. Hold on, Michigan. And that's where you misunderstand me. What I'm telling you is of how the numbers grow in a government based on a representative government that you actually vote for your leadership. That's how you get people in there who don't put policy in place to keep money moving. And if you don't keep money moving and if you don't keep an area or an economic – make it viable for economic stability so a corporation can come in and actually work, you lose. And we keep on going to the government for our food and water and not going to the government for our infrastructure. Go ahead, Jeff.
The one statement that I have to say is this. You look at what they did to the coal industry and how many jobs were lost because of government policy. You destroyed a whole – first of all, your grid, you might have rolling blackouts this winter if we have a bad winter again because you don't have those coal-fired plants making cheap energy anymore. Now they let your costs are going to go up sky high this winter because you don't have enough. And it's foolishness. You have government destroying the ability for people to make a living. And when you create and that's not just a one pot of money, Michigan. You can create wealth. Wait a minute. You can create wealth, my friend, and you create wealth by creating something that people want. And when you stop people from being able to create, you can't get any more money in from any place. But you get it, the whole world will come to you for that better mousetrap. I'm sorry.
Hold on. Private caller, your mic is on. Hold on, Bianchi.
Hi, Tracy and Jeff. Yeah, you all are emphasizing some of the things, you know, I agree with, but I don't think that sometimes some people pay attention to what happens. I'll use a quick example. It really bothered me so with the incident in Ferguson when the young people in the streets were making demands. And I thought it was so sad that in the midst of the rioting and all the other crazy hellishness things that took place, they threw the third request that they made, that they said, we want you to give us a job. And I thought, oh, my God, what has the world or this generation come to where they're asking people to give them something versus them realizing God created them and made them individuals where they can be creative and probably even attempt to create a job for themselves. I thought that's so sad. Isn't that sad?
Absolutely.
Of course it's
sad. Hold on,
Especially
when you go inside the school right now and you ask young people, what do you want to do when you're older, and they say, I want to be alive.
Well, I have worked in the school system, and I tell you, it really bothered me to have a fourth grader when they asked, what would you like, career, what do you want to do when you grow up? And the child said, I want to be on SSI. And that really freaked me out. And then we're asking, why? They said, well, you get a house, you get food, and you can be at home and watch TV all day. And that's
sad. What kind
of
aspiration is that?
That's sad. And then when I see now that people are asking, okay, to raise the minimum wage and people not really having an understanding, you know, how our economy is being destroyed, I feel bad because the president, we see I believe he sows discord all the time, but he throws those things out knowing that there are a large number of people that are simply ignorant. I'm not trying to be demeaning in stating that. Ignorance is that they just don't know how the economy works. And so, therefore, they argue, oh, yes, yes, we should have a minimum wage. But they don't even realize that even with some of the changes that have been made so far regarding the Affordable Health Care Act, have you noticed the cost of gas, your food in the store, and things that are happening? And they don't have cash flow. And then
they're telling you,
oh, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, because I agree with you wholeheartedly, and it's very, very true. The problem that we have is the ignorance, and they breed to keep you ignorant. So Labor Day, they went around the country and not talk about what's going on about your national security and not having a strategic plan. He comes off the golf course and then comes back and tells you that you need to have income equality. You need to have a higher minimum wage. And so they're pimping you again, all over again, about minimum wage at McDonald's and not talking about give me an education so that I can create my own wealth.
There's no concept.
Hey, Tracy.
Or he's not even talking about any provision for any businessman. And when I say man, I don't mean that in the male man. That's female and male man. I mean it in the sense that God created man. There's no provision for even creating jobs to make jobs or economy or to wealth for other people. He's just saying raise the minimum wage. But he says when you say raise the minimum wage, but you do not indicate how you can encourage other businesses to create business or make it viable.
Correct.
You know, you're not doing – you're purposely sowing discord. You're pitting people against one another. You know, that – remember the 1%? You know, that whole notion of certain things of – certain people owe you something because they have more than you do. It's foolishness. It's only to cause divide. And anytime you provoke the people to divide, you do that to tear the house. The house is divided. Can't go anywhere. Can't be productive. And then people are fighting against one another. You know, the devil has done a wonderful thing in making people believe that there are different races of people. He's got that in their head. So you think that there are just African Americans, there's white people, there's, you know. So you think you don't even realize that God made people. He made man. You know, so you fight against one another.
And let me say this. And hold on, Michigan. This is the problem. And let me, when I say this, you have to understand that my race does not limit me. See, that's the issue. Just because I'm darker in hue and the melanin in my skin is a little bit more concentrated does not limit my potential for growth. And we are, instead of using it for strength, we use it as a crutch. See,
because
I don't need for you to give me nothing. As James
Brown
said, you open up the door, and I'll get it myself.
Well,
go ahead, Bianchi.
Who controls the door?
Hold on, I got a question. According to these stats, in 2013, out of 129 million wage and salary workers, only 1.7 million was working below minimum wage, and 1.5 million was working at minimum wage. My goodness. And Jeff, you mentioned about minimum wage does not cover that activity of sweeping the barbershop. I know you were saying it to dramatize and sensationalize the conversation, but being that listeners are so ignorant, why would you do that?
Hold on, Pianki.
What are you talking about,
Pianki? Remember, regulation now is making it to where I can't go and hire young people. You understand? I need to be able to bring people in here to be in board op so that we can actually do other things, so that we can have cameras up in here, so we can do some other things. And when you hire someone, the taxes and the unemployment that come on top of that it takes that $7, $8
correct.
An hour and
correct.
Sends it up.
Correct.
What I'm saying is you need to make sure as a small business I still have the opportunity to go and hire people and can afford to do so. Because if it's going to cost me $20 an hour and I'm only making $15 an hour, somewhere either Jeff's going to lose his job, but somebody's going to lose.
I was just going to add to what you're saying. But look at the stores now. When you're in the store now and you need help, you have to search for help. The reason that is because they can't afford to hire anymore how things are. They can't do it.
Well, people should look around a little bit more because the help just going to tell you where you've been walking past it.
Hold up. No, Pianki, hold up. This is the issue. I don't have a problem with you paying the person more. If when I ask you the question, they tell me it's an aisle 14, down towards the middle and over to the right. See, that's where we come in and we begin to have competence. And we need to teach our young people and teach people when they're going to work that when they go there, they should be competent at the job that they do, even if they don't like the job.
That's right.
And we don't teach that.
What they should do, if you need help, you need to have to pay for it. If you need help when you
Pianki,
go in the store because you're too lazy.
Yes,
my time's too valuable. Yeah, go ahead, South Carolina.
Listen, I worked part-time at a big box electronics store, okay? They hired me as a computer tech, all right? But because it was so short in other departments and because I had the expertise, I worked in a home theater. I worked in the cell phone department. I worked in some of the other departments in the store. But here's the thing. The majority of the people that were there, a lot of the young folks, They just didn't have the work ethic.
Mm-mm.
I mean, they say they want a job, they want the paycheck, but they don't want to do the work.
Mm-mm.
So why should I give you a job if you're not going to work?
Because you
owe
it to me.
That's why employers are mostly seeking out older people, people who have families,
exactly.
Because they're more dependable and they will work for that wage because they have a family to take care of. That's why our youth are being shut out of the job market. Is it wrong
Diva,
that they have
no
work ethic? Yes, that's when they're parents.
Diva, but the problem is I can't afford to pay you anymore because the skill set that you're actually doing does not warrant. I cannot afford to pay a clerk any more than minimum wage without raising the prices, which is going to limit the people who come in and shop.
If you're expecting me to work 40 hours per week and work in three different departments, I'm going to expect for you to compensate me appropriately.
Right.
I said earlier, the retail market is not right. Did you not hear me say that?
Probably not.
I said that.
I'm sorry.
I said the retail market, I called them out individually. They are incorrect in what they're doing. Because what they're doing is they are creating a false sense of work and giving people a threshold that they cannot achieve. And they wonder why people don't get good service when they get there. I said that. And we need to do something about that, just like call centers. We need to do something about the call centers who are abusing people and tell them that they can't go to the bathroom.
Yeah, and they give you ridiculous expectations. You got to sell so much things a day, or you're fired.
People aren't buying it anyway, and they know they're not buying the stuff because they don't want it.
Correct. Correct.
And they use you for a minute and throw you out. But here's the thing. Once again, your government is absolutely working hand in hand with those practices.
That's right.
And if you don't stop it, it's going to destroy the poor people and make more poor people.
Just like the Affordable Health Care Act is going to destroy the people, the middle, the working poor just got shot.
Tracy,
if you dismantled every portion of the government, say except the military, in capitalist society, that gap will still widen. So see, that's why the narrow-mindedness of your argument. So it's
no. Listen, you keep blaming the government, man. Yes, because the government, you can dismantle the government.
You can dismantle the government, and the rich will get richer, and the poor will get poorer. You can dismantle
but
the
government. I keep on telling you, we're not talking about dismantling the government. What we're saying is the legislation that they're passing, the regulation that they're passing and putting on smaller businesses with the EPA, with your taxes, with your employee rights, and then trying to raise a minimum wage, it is crushing small business.
We agree on that. It's not being used efficiently.
And that's what we're saying. And the problem is we keep on putting people in there because they keep on giving us free stuff. Anytime if you go down to, where was that place? It was in Virginia, South Carolina, where the people get the robocall and said, if you don't vote for this person,
they're going to take your program from you.
And you're dependent upon the program?
That was Mississippi.
That is some crazy stuff. You cannot be voting based upon free stuff because if you're concerned about the government feeding you, you're turning yourself into a socialistic society, and they're going to crush you.
Okay. They used to lock people up back in the day for that.
Hold on, those are
general statements that everybody understands to be true. But when you have a community that doesn't have, in order to be sophisticated in the voting process, it means you have an organization at the grassroots level that's allowing you to express your interest. So now when you don't have a community, you keep back to the pimp hoe mentality. Programs is all that the infrastructure in the black community has to offer at this time. So blacks would be foolish. Unless there's an infrastructure in place, they would be foolish to not vote with the party who's going to maintain those government programs. That'll be foolish.
Okay, Michigan, I only got 5 minutes. Listen to what I'm saying. And that's why where you always call me ignorant, uninformed, and I need to go get a social scientist, that's what I'm trying to tell you. I agree. But when the power is in your hands, if you understand the mathematics, the scientific equation, that's why they call it political science. It is a science.
Correct.
The problem is if you do not understand the science of politics, you do not understand the numbers, the equation, the statistical data of how points are shaved. It's like a football game. All you need is to get into the field goal and win by one. And if you understand that, and all I got to do is get one more person to vote for me, I will do whatever is necessary to put me in power, even if I eat you when I get done with you. And what happens to African Americans is they go out and they vote, and they talk about voter suppression, and they mobilize them emotionally, and they use them for their own glory and their own gain.
Correct.
And at the end of the day, they eat us.
Correct.
And I've got a problem with them being eaten alive, and then they put you back to sleep until the next time they need you. Because if there was real voter suppression, it would be every election. It would be all the time. But they don't want you to come out all the time. They only want you to come out when they wake you.
When they need you.
And right now, they are using us every day. So when you look at what's going on in our community, it is self-imposed because of our ignorance.
That's what we're saying. And her point gets rejected because she chooses to work in one side of things where you need to have people everywhere so you know what people are doing everywhere.
Because, see, I don't want bad, Republicans in office.
Nope.
And I don't want bad Democrats in office. I want people that are in office that are going to do the right thing by the people that they represent. And what's happening is we keep on getting eaten. If you want to know why we're incarcerated, it's based on legislation. The reason why we don't have an education is based on legislation. The reason why we don't have jobs is based on legislation. And if you don't create an environment for building, for growth, you won't get anything. And you got these crazy preachers out here, and they preaching I don't know what. They're not even preaching the word of God anymore.
Nope.
No,
they just end up getting
not.
A good feel-good movement, and all you're getting is an itchy ear, and you're dying on the vine. And they That's what I'm trying to tell you.
That's right.
But
have you ever thought that maybe voter suppression is such a big issue in the general election and not the
Diva, it doesn't exist. Your politics.
What did she say? I couldn't hear.
Diva said, "Do you think that it's only suppression in the big elections?" Listen to this. When you got 68,000 people in the city of Youngstown, and there's no souls to the polls for the mayor of the city. But they're sold to the polls from the government who will never know your name. You got a problem. Your prosecutor, your sheriff, those people who create the laws, there's a problem. I'll see you guys on Monday. Have a good day.
Well, the thing that Jeff don't realize that the largest number of people working at minimum wage was during the Reagan administration. Reagan administration, George Bush Sr., and his son. The highest number of the time when you have the highest number between 1981 and 1989 was under Reagan. These numbers are off the chart.
Yep.
What numbers?
Of number of people working under minimum wage.
Of course they are, because you have waitresses and waitresses
at or below prevailing wage, federal minimum wage. Was 19, he had over 7 million, 7.8 million, 1981.
Hey, Fiance, I got a question though. That means that there were more people working, wasn't it?
No,
there were more jobs.
You had 15% of the people that was working. The job rate was around 87 million.
Y'all keep saying a minimum wage job and a part time job don't really count. So how
yes,
is the police giving statistics under the Reagan administration? Oh, it counts.
What are you talking about, Diva? I don't understand.
Because when Obama talks about his job and employment numbers, the first thing I hear is, "Oh, those are part-time and minimum wage jobs." But when Bianchi gives a statistic about Reagan and the economic policies of the Reagan administration, "Oh, but those are jobs." So that's it.
Well, let me ask you this. Were there more people working during the Reagan administration, or are there more people working now under Obama? You want to compare apples to apples?
If you got 15% of your people, percentage of total wage and salary workers, you have a higher percentage of your people working under minimum wage during the Reagan administration than you do during the Obama administration, because you got more people working during the Obama administration.
You don't have more people working. You have less people working than at any other time since 1928.
That's
so
not
that
true.
Is,
you
that
got 200, 100,
deadly money,
you got 100, you got 129 million.
Pianchi, since 1928, there has not been this few people working. You have half your population with no work.
Listen, you got total wage and salary workers, and during Reagan's time, the highest peak was about 80. When did you were with Reagan? 1989. You had 103 million in 1989. Now during Obama, you got 129 million.
Yeah.
in 2013.
The minimum wage wasn't
$15. That's toll workers.
Hey, but you guys can't pin an economy to a president. That's the key.
And as I said before, minimum wage don't cover barbershop.
The economy to the president.
Yes, it does.
I think Jeff.
No, it does not.
Okay.
It doesn't even cover certain agriculture jobs in those states where you have a lot of large agri corporations, Jeff.
The president
I tell
does
you,
not
never,
run an economy in a capitalist society. President does not run the economy.
I'll tell you how he does, Michigan. Yes, he does. And let me tell you how he does, since you say he doesn't, and I'm going to prove it to you that he does.
You can't. Okay, go ahead.
When you make a false law that says we're warming the globe by ourselves.
Go ahead, I hear you, Jeff.
Let me finish talking, you guys, for one second, and then I'll leave you alone.
Okay, thank you, boss. I ain't got
okay,
no
here,
no
here,
problem.
Here,
no
here
no
we
no
go.
You think I got anything tight? Jack said, I don't want grandma to lose her father. She got Mr. John Good, the mama. And he don't want to see her. He know I ain't got no way to go.
Yeah.
Everything good?
Everything good.
Okay, then. I got to give it to the daddy
because
I took him up.
All right.
Sound like you got a deal going on with some cartels.
I don't know what they're doing.
Sound
anyway,
like a deal going
again,
on with some cartels. No wonder you ain't worried about minimum wage.
The president controls the economy this way, okay? This is how he does it. He makes laws that either open up for businesses to be created and to operate, or he makes laws over.
The presidency does not make laws.
If he raises taxes,
That is not the executive branch.
No.
Congress raises taxes. Come on, man.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. Let's stop this, please. Once again, if he raises taxes.
Go ahead. You said if he raises taxes four times.
If he raises taxes,
we can hear you.
He shuts down business. When Clinton raised taxes near the end of his presidency the last 2 years, guess what it did? It put us in a recession. Off of that burning economy.
Yeah.
You understand that?
This
is saving you. The rest of the world belongs to us. Screw you. We're leaving.
Fact,
hey, Jeff, another thing to let you know that the minimum wage jobs is falling under the title of leisure and hospitality. I guess leisure would be bartenders.
No.
Of course, we know what hospitality is, those who work in hotels.
And they all get tips. You have to understand that. They all get tips.
At the retail trade. Retail trade, the number that's working below minimum wage is 7.1%. At minimum wage is only 22.4%, which is basically the same as wholesale. That's Carolina. Carolina, turn it off. We don't want to know your business.
But
you
going to
reveal them cartel names? I'm telling the FBI.
Jeff, I have a question for you because y'all cut me off when we were talking about voter suppression. And just hear me out before you jump all over.
Okay.
You guys always make it seem as if voter suppression only happens during the general election and not during the midterm. Okay. So if that's the case, if that's your premise, is it because black people by large, do not bother with midterm elections? We do turn out in mass for general elections. And knowing that we turn out in mass for general elections, we have the power to sway the election. So if that's the case,
absolutely,
that makes more sense that voter suppression will happen during general elections than midterm elections.
Okay, no, wait a minute. There is no voter suppression happening in Ohio, number one. That is the most asinine, foolish thing.
If you say
Correct.
Does happen in other states. You do admit it happens in other states, though, right, Jeff?
It's happening in Ohio. It is happening in Ohio.
It's not happening in Ohio. Diva, it's impossible for it to happen in Ohio.
Yes,
when they cut out the polls,
I
never had any problem voting in any election.
Voting weekend, instead of the first 3 days, but they cut out the days that African Americans who go to church will use the most, that's telling me something is amiss instead of cutting out maybe 3 days within the week or 3 days in the beginning. But you want to cut out the 3 days that African Americans choose to go vote the most.
Why?
Why those three
Why?
Days, not any other 3 days?
Why? Why do I want to cut those days off?
And you want to, in one state, they wanted to carry the polls out further. And we know that in Florida, in certain African-American districts, the roads that lead to the polling place, they would set highway patrol cars there with the lights during checks.
Good, because
if
you're stupid enough to let that bother you, then you deserve not to vote. That's a stupid. That's a stupid.
How
are
you
going to
stop it in a spur of a moment, man?
Come on.
That's voter suppression.
Wait a minute. That is not no voter suppression.
That is voter suppression.
For Franklin County, for early voting, they have one polling place open.
Hey, let me get
just
that,
one polling place.
If they only had one polling place,
they don't have, but you got 10,000 people, and they only got
three polling
machines.
Okay, wait a minute. Let me stop the ignorance from going on. Please.
Okay, go ahead, Jeff.
Okay, first of all, if they change your – who's talking?
Who is that talking, man?
That's South Carolina.
No, that's me. That's me. That's Alabama. Send
okay, Alabama,
listen,
please mute your phone if you don't want to talk to somebody
else. I'm through, man.
Please do. But okay, in this state, if they change the polling location, the Democrats and the Republicans made the decision for one reason or another. The reasons why they close is because sometimes a school building closes down and they have to change the polling place. Another reason is somebody might have let you come in their church and vote, and they decide this year we don't have the maintenance crew to do it. And then, wait a minute, I'm going to let you finish so that I'll finish the statement. I'll let you ask me the question. And then that's how they do it. But both Republicans and the Democrats vote on it and change it.
Correct. Bullcrap, because it was a
Wait a minute. No, it's not
bullcrap. No,
Diva, come on, Diva.
When it came to changing laws in Ohio,
Diva.
Diva. It was a tie. The Democrats.
Diva, that's a lie.
Oh, my gosh. So you're going to mute me because I'm trying to
Nobody muted
you.
You're talking. Diva, that's a lie. In the state of Ohio, you have boards of elections in 88 counties, and they are absolutely the same. They all are balanced. It doesn't matter, and you don't have no...
But when it comes down to a tie, the Secretary of State, who is John Hughes, has
a tie. When have you ever found out there was a tie, Diva?
John Houston was the one who did the
tie.
Wait a minute.
Early voting, Diva, the reason why they need those last 3 days is to properly prepare and not spend a gajillion dollars trying to get ready for the general election in between early voting and all. You have 30 second days to vote. Wait a minute. Diva, hold on. I'm not done.
Wow.
No, I'm going to tell this. You have 30 freaking days to vote. They mail you a ballot to your house that you can get the ballot sent to your house, fill it out, walk down to the poll on election day if you want to, and turn it in. You are not being stopped from voting in any fashion, anything. And that's the same thing throughout the United States. They're lying to you, and they take your business. I work for the Board of Elections.
First off, where I live, you can't just walk down to a polling place.
Yes, you can.
No, you can't. For early voting, it has to be turned into down here. It cannot or have to be dropped off.
She does it every single year.
I can't go to my polling place for early voting.
You do not have to. If your ballot is filled out, Diva.
My across the street, Jeff. Early voting in Franklin County is done
all
at one place.
I'm going to stop after this because you ain't getting it. Be quiet, please, for a second. If you get your ballot sent to you home, you fill it out, put it in that envelope and seal it. On election day, you can walk in. Okay, for early voting, you can walk in and turn it in. You don't have to stand in anybody's line.
What's the purpose
of... The only line
of,
you stand in is on the
today. Okay.
That's the only time you got to stand in lines if there's lines. If they change polling locations, the Board of Elections has already agreed to it, and they know why. It's because that place is no longer available. They're not doing it trying to fool you so you don't have nowhere to go vote. It has to do with availability in the section that you're going to vote in of a building big enough to handle it. You have
right.
to understand...
Right, for Franklin County, early voting was all done at the Veterans Memorial Center downtown, which was not big enough to handle the amount of people coming out for early voting. It
what
was
year?
Too long. It took up all 30 days.
What
you
year?
You still had to stand in line for hours.
What year?
This was happening between the years of 2004 and 2012. This has been a problem during the general
It did not
election.
Happen then.
So they moved. They moved the building.
Did not happen in 12.
To the north side. Yes, it did. How are you going to tell me? How are you going to tell me that the
didn't
lines
happen.
Were not long here in Franklin County? Well, no, you're right. It didn't happen in 2012 because by 2012 they moved the place from Veterans Memorial and it had to build, create more space on the north side of here in Franklin County. So they moved
Why?
The polling place because Veterans Memorial was not fit. But it's much farther out now.
Why would you all spend
you
this much time on an issue that's not really the black major problem about voter suppression in the black community is really not their problem. So why would you all spend this almost half an hour talking about voter suppression? I mean,
emotions
really not the issue.
Emotions.
Voter suppression.
It's not that serious a problem. It is not.
You're
I mean,
doing the
you
same
would have had
thing.
A black man reelected twice if it really that big of a problem.
Yeah. It's not.
What we're trying to tell you is this, Diva, is first of all, the only way that they put locations out is when we know who voted in the last election. That's how they determine where you're going to vote at. And
in
the you, and the way that they got
Jeff,
you.
Somebody keeps pressing that mute button.
My question, Jeff.
Yeah.
No, they're not.
There's absolutely no question that if you have an interest group who needs to try to, you know, suppress or limit the number of votes, of course they would do things to move into polling places. So I don't think you should try to argue that that's not happening.
It's not happening.
What
about the project buildings? Yeah, about the old folks' home, Jeff. And the projects they used to have the polling place on the first floor. And those projects were 14, 15, and 20 stories tall.
Are you arguing with me that it's not, Jeff? If I'm telling you that it's happening where I live, you're arguing to me saying that it's not? How could you argue and say it's not? And I'm telling you it is. Where I live.
You know what, Michigan
so
man? Let me tell you what they do.
It.
Let me tell you what they do. When you have a retirement home that's in a black community, or you have like those project buildings, whether it be like 10 and 12 or 15 stories tall, they move the polling place out of those buildings because blacks, all they got to do is get on the elevator and go downstairs.
That's absolutely
correct. You're talking about a big city, Bianchi.
That's not even questionable.
Oh, are you talking about a little hick town?
No, I'm telling you. Listen, let's talk.
Is that not voter suppression, Jeff?
How many How many days do you have to vote in Michigan before the election?
How many days
do you have to vote in Michigan before the election? And
that's
I want to know for Missouri to say.
They don't have early voting in Missouri. They have absentee ballot. They have provisional ballots. The only time they count the provisional ballots is when you have a tie.
So what if a person waits till the last day? That's not the issue.
This is what I'm talking about.
The last day.
Michigan, if
you
don't vote in 28 freaking days and we want
to
take three so we don't spend $1 million trying to get the election off, I'm sorry. You don't deserve to vote. You really don't. Because you ain't aloof. You are aloof. You're not thinking. You're not being a good steward of citizens.
That's like saying,
you're not
that's
even
like saying
paying
you
attention.
You and T.D. Jakes
listen.
Loose.
What are you talking
here's
about?
Here's what happened in Ohio to bring about early voting. Was it not the 2004 election, especially here in Franklin County, you saw an overwhelming amount of people coming out to vote, and they were being denied the right to vote after the polls closed, but they were still in line, and the lines were just too long to accommodate everybody. So the Republican General Assembly in Ohio, they were the ones to implement early voting. So early voting commenced the following two years later in 2006. It worked great. It worked great in 2008, even though we had long lines, but everybody still got to vote. It worked great in 2010. So after 2008, now they're trying to move to get ready and cut down the hours of early voting. John Houston said himself it was not about money. It was not about economics. It was about a fair right to vote, everybody getting a fair right to vote. So you tell me if they're cutting days, how is that fair to the people that may not get a chance to vote?
First of all, you had 28 days to vote. That's number one. Number two, John Houston didn't say that.
Yes,
that was not what he said.
Yes, he did say
no,
it.
No, it wasn't.
Tell me, I researched it. He didn't do it. It's on his website. Look on his website. He said early voting has to do with fair right to vote.
He wanted
right to vote
listen.
And fairness in the voting process. That had nothing to do with money. So go look on his website
again,
if you think I'm lying.
It does have to do with money, and if
he
said
he
absolutely misspoke. I'll say that again.
That's
the whole thing. All they wanted was those 3 days.
Let me ask you this, Jeff. If you could control the political process and you needed not to turn out, would you use voter suppression?
It can't be voter suppression.
It's a tool, Jeff. It's being used, man. What are you talking about? Voter suppression is a tool. It's a political tool, and it is used. Are you denying that?
No, here's what I'll say. If there's voter suppression, here's what I'm saying. Now, I don't agree with that, but if it is, it's being used by the Democrats because they make sure. Let me say it like this.
Right.
Okay. What they're doing to you is every time, Youngstown has a white mayor right now, because black people were not told during that mayor's race that there's voter suppression in Ohio. But the minute that they had a Senate or a state representative race come up and all of that, it's voter suppression. When you had two black men in the race for the mayor of Youngstown in a city that's 54% black.
No argument there, Jeff. The question is it a tool and is it being used? No argument that
Republicans
don't try to use it.
When you say voter suppression, am I muted?
No, you're not muted.
No, okay, you're right.
When you say the word voter suppression, and I look at what the Republican Party did during the primary when you had Ron Paul, literally beat Mitt Romney. But they cheated in a lot of the counties they changed and said that he didn't win. In Pennsylvania, the count was switched. So, I mean, they cheated themselves, man. Cheating in politics is old. They've been doing this for thousands of years. So, I have no doubt.
It's always been you.
They cheated with Ron Paul. Ron Paul beat Mitt Romney. But they cheated and gave it. And that's why even at the convention, they were suppressing those people when they were talking about the delegates. You remember that? So, it happened.
Yeah.
On both sides.
Correct. Now you can move on.
He's still not admitting to it. But here's the thing. I'm not admitting to that it's affecting us. And the thing is it shouldn't affect us at all because
that
we've been here for 500 freaking years.
No, I would agree with
that. That wasn't even a question.
How stupid is that?
Can you admit to the fact that voter suppression does happen in our elections?
Be valid,
no,
though.
I don't.
I mean, the mayor ain't going to admit it. Let it go.
All right,
let
question
go.
Is
in Ohio,
asked and
no. Diva, Diva,
yeah,
you have 28 days to vote. If you're behind
and
can't vote in 28 days, then you don't need to vote. And
well,
I want you
well,
to vote.
I agree.
I don't care what side you're voting for.
Days to 28 days.
I agree with you there, Jill.
That they said, no, Pionki, because they statistically knew that those last 3 days were the days that black people usually get out to vote the, at the highest
that's
amount. So they cut the last
they
three
bust days. On the vote. They don't get out to vote
it
nowhere.
Matter. It don't matter.
It
what
does
they
matter.
Do it, but the fact is
it
they
does
do
matter.
It. They cut, them,
matter.
They cut the last 3 days that
okay.
statistically
Diva,
have shown in Ohio.
Diva, Diva, why didn't those black people
vote?
Diva, why didn't those black people get on the bus a week before?
It don't matter.
What's the
why
difference?
Those last
I said,
why
did you hear what I just said, Diva?
Why?
You have 28
why
freaking days. Republicans
again.
Gave you those 28 days. Now,
again,
ask you again.
31 days.
Yes.
Then they cut it down to 28
days. No. No, Republicans gave you 35 days.
Thank you.
Yeah, they
originally.
Systematically cut it, and then now
okay.
it's 31 days.
Republicans gave you 35 days to early vote. Now, I'm asking you, they wanted to cut the 3 days off the end. Why don't
it
you
says
just,
here
just organize your soul to the poll 1 week earlier.
Okay, you
this article on Washington Post.
You can't get on a bus 1 week before?
You have a point there.
This article,
this article
in the Washington Post substantiates Diva's claim.
That black people use at the most. Why do they cut those?
It says here.
Black people use
because
the most?
They're trying to suppress the
it
vote.
Says here, 22 states have passed new voting restrictions
no
over the past
that.
4 years. He said the restrictions have disproportionate impact on the black population, according to a review of census data. While the 22 states are home to 46% of the overall population, they represent 57% of the nation's black population.
It didn't work, though, did it?
Yeah, yeah.
And
oh, this just came out. This just came out just this year, Jeff.
Once again, I'll say it like this. Did it work?
Well, it's
22 states. How we
saying.
Know? We don't know what happened to everyone.
Understand what you guys are saying. Understand what you guys are saying. But
including
what
Ohio.
The problems I have with, okay, one of the problems I have with it is why these black people
went in Ohio.
Lord have mercy. Go ahead, dude.
Black vote, early vote in Ohio. They gave him Ohio not once but twice.
I think the point that Jeff is making, which is true, is blacks don't know what the hell they're voting for anyway. So
exactly.
That's why this.
What we've been arguing for the last hour.
Right, that's what makes us so stupid. Blacks don't even know what
shit.
The hell they're voting for. So
that's why they
say they don't even know the damn names on the thing. So
that's why they show up late and procrastinate. They procrastinate to the last minute, and they show up late to the party, and we arguing over the fact that they should be allowed to show up late.
Right.
That speaks volumes. That speaks volumes right there.
Hold on. If we're given 28 days to vote, I can choose whichever day I want to vote. And if black overwhelms wait the last 3 days, what does it matter?
Okay, but hold on. What I'm saying is if you're the one that's suffering the worst in the society, you should be paying attention to your vote in the first place. Before the fact,
no,
if you want to wait till the last minute,
get ready to go.
If there wasn't a problem, hold on. If there was no problem with us waiting till last minute, other than the fact that we overwhelmed the polls and got to see
that's,
that we
that's
weren't
not
elected,
it. You didn't overwhelm
so
the polls.
Why cut the last 3 days that we
you didn't overwhelm
that
the polls.
Used to vote? Okay, so why cut the last 3 days? Why cut the last 3 days that blacks used overwhelmingly to vote?
Because
why those 3 days and not any other 3 days? Why not any other 3 days then? Why just those
because
3 days?
Because I said it again. The last 3 days.
Well, if they
stop
spending money over in Iraq and Afghanistan, they'd have some money.
Jeff just said he don't believe that voter suppression happens anywhere. So why would you keep arguing?
Yeah, so
with
why are we having this argument?
No, I don't
why?
Believe it happens in Ohio. No.
Okay.
And it didn't
well,
happen.
Ohio
happen
is one of the states here, Jeff.
Hey, if the cops are, if I see the cops on my way to voting in Florida, I'm saying, well, they're protecting me, so nobody tries to stop me from voting.
It says here, seven states are facing challenges over their new voting requirements, which includes Ohio.
Wait a minute.
Hey, Jeff,
you're gonna get this from Jeff today.
How far are you going to pull off that bull crap?
I'm going to say it like this. These people know that they got simple-ass people that will go and vote because they tell them, so they always create causes to get simple-ass people up off their behinds to go vote for their cause and not for themselves. If you don't get up and vote, if somebody got to make you get up and vote by getting you excited about some kind of thing that's being done against you that ain't really being done against you, because all you got to do is get your butt behind up and go vote. But
you
won't
like,
do it
like how the Republicans
and
done?
You're ignorant about political things.
Oh,
this
so
isn't
what
a death is voting. They don't know what they're voting for and how it affects them. They don't know.
So how do you talk about the religion to get off the vote? You mean to tell me the Democrats are wrong and how they get off the vote?
Hold on, Diva, I got one for you. Ron Paul, I'm reading an article right now in 2012 where he was cheated in Ohio by the Republican Party, disenfranchising his supporters. So Connecticut, Florida, New Hampshire, Ohio, Virginia, a lot of people were just complaining about the switching of the precincts. The voting wasn't, the actual count wasn't what they really said. So Jack,
I agree
what you
with
that.
Well, Ohio has early voting and no excuse absentee voting.
So that is voter suppression.
That's pretty good.
1990-something we've had early voting. Republicans
put it in. In Missouri, Jeff, we have no early voting, and you have to have an excuse required for absentee voting. But you don't have those restrictions in Ohio.
We no longer have those restrictions, though.
You never
but
had
what?
Them.
They gonna keep.
Since you've been voting, Diva, you never
have.
But Missouri, Kentucky, Virginia, check this out.
God.
Mississippi and Alabama does have those. And South Carolina too.
Not happening in the 90s or the 2000s because I don't remember early voting being.
Philadelphia, New York, Rhode Island, Connecticut, New Hampshire, Maine, Delaware.
I did look up the date. That's the thing, Jeff. You keep telling me look stuff up. I look stuff up and repeat.
Early voting did not start in 2004, Diva. It started long before.
No, it did not.
It started long before. You were doing that in the 90s. I worked on a freaking board, Diva.
Well,
I have
a hard time
here. I work for the freaking board of elections. I know when we started early voting. I'm a state supervisor, Diva. I know what I'm talking about, and you don't.
I'm just saying,
that's what makes me so mad, because this is what our people do. In the face of facts, we still cling to our own stupid mind thoughts. And you want to cling to it when it's wrong. That's stupid. And I can say it now. That's stupid. Get the facts. Look it up.
I did.
Yeah, okay.
I did.
I'm done. I'll see you all later. Michigan, I appreciate you. I love the dialogue. Alabama, I appreciate the dialogue because at least we can bring up things and we can agree to disagree, but we're not ignoring facts. Now, I'm not saying that there ain't people trying to keep people from voting. Absolutely. Somebody going to try to keep you from voting because it's a thing about power. It's power. And the thing is though, niggas is getting run like a herd of sheep every single time they need you. And they shear your wool and give you not a doggone dime for your wool.
Well, now, that's not correct. They do get a little something.
Well, you know, you get government programs of 30 cents on the dollar. That's what you get.
Well,
30 cents on the dollar.
Better that than nothing.
I'd rather have an economy that 30 cents
is better than 0 cents.
Look at the state of Ohio. Look at the state of Ohio since John Kasich came in. John Kasich changed the business climate in Ohio. We're the number one leading manufacturing state of starch and manufacturing now.
Nobody
do you understand that means?
Yeah.
I'm saying this.
Who's
it means that.
Okay,
it means
that's
that.
Good. That's why
you
don't end up winning re-election. Move on. So what's your point?
Say that again.
I said, okay, that's a good thing. That's why he's more likely going to end up winning his re-election.
Well,
so what's your point about John Kasich?
He's going to end up winning the re-election because they put up an idiot as to run against him.
Well, yes,
they
already know that they put
this gentleman is an idiot.
They didn't have a chance. The Democrats
and you still,
can
and
read between
this?
The lines.
Since Jones is going to get 80% of the black vote in the state of Ohio, you watch. And I'm going to tell you what he did. He comes into freaking Cuyahoga County boasting about how he ain't going to deal with no African-American people. I'm not going to deal with them. I ain't going to make no deals with them. Nothing. And not only that, when he got took over the government, he didn't hire one single black person. And these niggas are going to get behind him and vote for him anyway. That's the thing I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. That's how stupid, that's how brainwashed they have you.
As if the Republican Party don't got you just as brainwashed.
Yeah, yeah. They don't, Diva. You know why? Because I don't agree with my party. When my party does foolishness, I don't agree with that. And not only that, I'm very vocal.
You
can say, okay, Jeff. I get involved. I'm vice president of the freaking black Republicans. And we don't always agree with the white majority of the
Michigan, and you just discount them and you overlook them. And it doesn't matter.
Overlook
them.
You're
going to say you're very independent. You're not. You get in your feelings.
I'm not independent. I'm pro black. Okay, I'm not independent at all. I am pro-black.
You are part of a party that doesn't even care an inch about black people.
Well, that's not true.
They don't even care.
They gave you up, Diva, because they know you brainwashed. They don't care like that because they don't need you.
And engaged in false, right. So they don't think anything of it, ain't even trying nothing. So therefore, you expect me to go along with their aunt? No.
Jeff
and Diva, let me ask y'all a question. Name me the number one business interest group for the black community.
The number one business industry?
Yeah, that's the number one business interest group for the black community.
I can't tell you that.
Are you talking about?
There is none.
There is funeral directors.
listen, brother. I said, name me the number one national business interest group for black folks.
Oh, ooh. I got you.
Ain't none.
Yeah, there ain't none. Name me the number one interest group nationally for black people in education.
None.
Okay. Name me the number one interest group for social programs in the black community. How would black folks say that they're engaged in the political game and you have no national interest groups?
Well, here's the thing.
Party. That's true.
You do have an international interest group.
I'm not arguing none of your points, Jeff.
White people got the NRA. They got the healthcare industry. They got the pharmaceutical industry.
You will never see any black voting sophistication without those interest groups. Never. I don't give a damn if you're a Republican. I don't give a damn if you're a Democrat. I don't give a damn if you're independent. There's no interest groups articulating the issues. How can you be considered sophisticated in voting?
Well, my point is this. You ought to be able to see the cause of the demise of your community and who's causing it. Huh?
I would agree you should be able to. But that takes
but
a certain type of consciousness.
Well,
Jesse,
here's my
post that I put on your page. I just put it up today. It's a video. I forgot what her name is. No, Sister Ali, Mother Ali, whatever you want to call her.
Shahrazad Ali.
She goes into going back to how systematically the black community has been destroyed on purpose.
Okay.
When you even get into the welfare program, she talks about how white women, when white women who are in agriculture go get government subsidies, they don't tell them that the man has to leave the house to get it. But in order for a woman to get any type of welfare assistance, they have to get rid of their men, get rid of their husband.
Yes, that's true, absolutely true.
Okay. But you have to look at it from the top and who has been running this country since these programs. So I don't blame either Democrat or Republican. As
you
done.
Should.
I blame both of them. I blame
you
both.
You should, because the great society. You should.
I blame both parties because
you
both
can't blame both parties.
Been,
because guess what?
You can't.
You didn't vote
for both parties.
No, you can't. Because you know why you can't? Because you didn't vote for both parties. You only voted for one.
I could blame, it don't matter, I could blame both parties. I could look at it and look at how both parties had a hand in systematically destroying black communities. When you look at Black Wall Street, when you look at how we created, she talked about how we created businesses. She said, don't tell black people we can't do it, we can't create because we have. What they have done is whenever we've created something, they come and they destroyed it. Whenever we try to build ourselves up, they come and
destroy it. Who destroyed it, Diva?
The system destroyed it. You had government.
No, that was
white
a
supremacy using
that
government. You had
Diva.
White supremacy using government to destroy
Diva,
black communities.
You had a guy by the name of Woodrow Wilson that before he left office, he authorized the destruction of Black Wall Street with American military planes. No, it was
you
a freaking Republican. It was
Democrat.
It did.
I didn't say
Jeff, here's where Steve is correct, and you know she's correct. If you're talking about the dismantling of communities, now, either one of those groups would do that, and both of them have. It depends on which interest group you're talking about.
Well,
that's the one thing that has in common. Is the interest groups. Both of them have dismantled the black community, and they'll keep doing it. That's not Democrat or Republican.
Once again, in my book,
you disagree with that?
I see it as the ones that pulled the trigger. And in the 1960s, my families in the black community disappeared after the Great Society programs were put in place. And so
that's
that
what
that
we
was
can
not
blame Bush
hey,
for what's going on in the Middle East.
what
blame
the hell does the Middle East have to do with the black family?
Because you're still trying to say that only the Democrats who implemented these programs are at fault and not what has happened over the years. So that's like us saying, well, because Bush went over there and messed over, and Bush the father went over and messed over in the Middle East, getting business, didn't have no business in. So now Obama's dealing with all this backlash. So... But yet you'll say, well, it's not Bush's fault.
What are you talking about? What's not Bush's fault?
You're trying to go back to the beginning of the Great Society programs, whatever you want to look at, to say only the Democrats had a hand in destroying the black community. I don't care whether it's blue or red. Power is power. And in those
I'm going to prove my point.
Democrats, what's your point, Jeff? First, what's the
Became president after Johnson?
No, what's your point? What's your point?
That's going to be my point. Who became president after Johnson?
What's your point you're going to prove?
I mean, here's the point. Who became president? Was it not Richard Milhouse Nixon?
I'm trying to figure out what your point
was
is.
Was it not Nixon?
What are you going to prove? What are you going to
prove, Jeff? Then what did Nixon do for the black community that Johnson didn't do? What did Nixon do? He created two programs to help blacks become independently, financially independent as their own group.
And who's trying to get rid of those programs now? And who's trying to get rid of those programs now?
Because the Democrats destroyed them.
Okay.
Absolutely, and I can prove it. Once again, I can prove it.
How did Democrats destroy affirmative action?
Because why? Because they started putting people up in these positions on purpose. And what's the thing? Is it Leon Sullivan that used to work for GM? He complained about this. They brought incompetent people and put them in these positions to work. And these people could not perform, and they blamed it on it, and they started not wanting to.
How do you know only Democrats were doing this? How do you know only Democratic businessmen were doing this?
Because they were in power. They did it. They legislated. I look at legislation, Diva.
That doesn't even make sense. That doesn't even make sense. That's dumb.
I can't deal because nobody wants to go with historical
because
fact.
Because it was a blanket statement about Democrats making it seem like only Democratic business people were doing it. That's how dumb and asinine
it
is.
No, no, I'm telling you that the structure, that structure is the number one.
And you're putting it
all
through.
Yeah,
no, 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 no.
I'm telling you that structure is the number one that did it. Yes.
No, 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 no. No, Jeff, it's a totality of our experience here.
Oh, no doubt.
It's not correct.
No doubt.
All right, don't get it twisted now. Don't get it twisted. It's a totality.
No, 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 I'm with you on that.
Continue. All right, okay, all right. So yeah, I don't think you can point to no one specific instance where the destruction of the black community, one particular instance, and say, aha, it was this one, it was this one, it was this one. No.
I'm telling you, that the thought that we have, listen, the pervasive thought in our community that government programs are what make us whole, that particular thought right there is what destroyed our families and allowed our black men to walk away from taking care of their own children
and moving away.
Oh, please, and they told you to get out.
Jeff, watch this, You act as if the black community was intact. Men were working.
It was.
Hold on, man. Everything was smooth, and then you have a white salesman come to the door and say, "Hey, man, quit your job, and I'm gonna give you a check, and that's gonna make this better."
Let me tell you,
knock on black folk door and say, "Hey, all y'all quit your jobs." Come on, Jeff.
Michigan, that's not what I said after. You said that, but that's not what I said. I'm telling you this. We were already demoralized in this country with the Jim Crow and the black codes and the blatant racism in the South. Okay, the very heavy blatant racism in the South. Those things subdued our community. We were afraid to do certain things. They created the minimum wage up north. And try to keep us. Yes.
Stop giving the Midwest and New York and all them a pass. You know the dirty what they did to black folks.
I'm not giving them.
The South. The South was just as bad as Chicago. That's what Martin Luther King said.
Can I finish? And you'll see that that's what I'm saying.
Go ahead.
Okay, you're absolutely correct. But when they created minimum wage, they created minimum wage to keep black people out of the workforce.
Because we all know that.
That's the whole thing. You and I know that, but half the people on this phone may not know that, and damn sure most of the people in the black community don't know that. I'll guarantee you.
Don't know what?
Don't know that they created minimum wage to keep you out of the workforce. So the white men who were working at a certain wage.
And then you had a mass migration of blacks from the South who came up here and could undercut that wage. And so they were protecting their jobs.
What did they say, Diva?
Their jobs that created minimum
wage. What did they say? What did the union leaders say about that when that happened?
I'm pretty sure there was a lot of racists and bigots.
No, it wasn't. No. That's who created it. They created it for that purpose. And it still does the same thing today. Once again, they said it keeps black people out of the workforce.
Who's going to get cut back?
Who's going to get cut back when they lay off because they're not going to pay that higher wage?
I can only speak from my own experience. I've seen
a lot of white people. It has nothing to do with your own experience. You're a black female. You're not a black male.
I can't really speak.
You're a black female. They're not afraid of you. They're afraid of me.
Okay.
They're afraid of a black man. Okay? That's what you have to consider. They're afraid of black men. They're not afraid of black women. They promote black women on purpose. See, so you have to look at this thing realistically.
Go ahead, Michigan. If white folk have to cut to keep food on their table, they're going to cut everything black, male and female.
Yep.
So, I mean,
absolutely.
But
who do they cut? But see, here's the whole thing. They don't forget, the black female, a nice-looking one, works inside and was the master's tool, or you could get him off.
Jump on.
Correct. Jump on.
That's what that
still
was
happens.
For.
That still happens.
So that still happens today.
That's correct, too. Right. Okay.
They won't
so
look at me
point?
For a position. Listen, they won't look at me for a certain position because I'm a black male and I'm vocal. So that's the end of that.
I've got tasked as a black female for many promotions over dumb with it, dumb white women and white males.
Well, now, hold on. No, listen, a black woman does not trump a white woman in any sense to white people.
No, absolutely. No,
Democrat or Republican.
All right, so don't
that's
act
correct.
Like
okay.
they look at what black women.
When they got room, so they don't
in,
do
can
that.
I jump in?
Yeah, go ahead.
Can I jump in? The thing
please.
Is, man, black women do get a pass over black men, and that's why their unemployment numbers are much lower than ours. Because they're not as threatening. A black man, when you oversee the something, they're scared of you. So, that's a fact. When I hear black women talking about it's no difference, it's a difference. Now, y'all might be suffering alongside us, and I ain't trying to, belittle what black women go through, but don't just sit up in there like it's equal as it is to black men. Black men suffer worse than anybody on this planet.
You really think
why
so?
Man,
we got to deal with the white man's crap just like y'all got to deal with the white man's crap. And then on top of that, we got to deal with
Diva,
the self-hate
sometimes you can't
from
just get,
from
you can't
all
just
correct,
defend
that's
something.
That's correct, Diva. That's correct. See, that's what I'm saying.
You can't just defend something just to defend it, though.
But listen. Certain points, they don't even need to be discussed because everybody's point is going to be correct, just like this one. I mean, see, everybody's point is correct. So now what? That's a stalemate.
Move on.
Let me say this. When you look at women nowadays, a lot of women are saying, well, men are up to par, they're on our level. And in certain age groups, it's like almost 50% unemployment for brothers. Women, they'll give a sister a job way before they'll give a man a job.
Okay, but
you're not going to be a mechanic. But, you got to have skills to be a mechanic, and women don't want to fix cars. So,
I know plenty of females that fix cars that don't mind working.
That's anecdotal. Alabama.
But are you bringing that up because that's her fault? I mean, it's not her fault.
I'm not saying it's her fault, but when I hear it, I'm just saying don't sit up here. Women, black, when I hear sisters just always, act like they go through what the same exact. No, it's a little different. In fact,
how is it a little different?
Okay, because I'm going to show you right now. It's a study just came out. Black women can get loans as easy as white heterosexual males. Google it right. Hold on. I got my phone right here. I'm going to read it to you.
Yeah, you're going to have to tell me where that job is.
Hey, did you have leave?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you would. Oh no, he's still there.
I'm here.
Okay, yeah. We would get along good in business. We just wouldn't need to talk. And we wouldn't even need to talk about politics because we spend more time talking about business. I would go into business with you any day, brother. We just wouldn't.
Look,
we wouldn't
again.
Need to. So we'll be counting money.
Okay, I'm gonna read it right now. I'm gonna read it. It's at GDT.com, it's at GDT.com, News1.com, ThinkProgress.org, okay, let's see, here's one, Clutch Mag Online, study finds black women qualify for loans easily as white men.
Two self-made organizations that promote misogyny.
Oh, whatever.
Yes,
BET too. Whatever,
now.
Man.
BET.
Just by sheer fact, you get Section 8 and all these different programs.
Self-hate
and
misogyny. It's ridiculous how BET.
Oh, every statistic, black women's numbers are going to be low. Every statistic that's low, black women's numbers are going to be low.
Your sources are BET and News 1.
No, I just wrote a news. I'm going to read it to you. This is what you call. Let's talk about Clutch Mag Online.
Alabama, if that's true, well then Diva, me and Alabama are gonna take you to the bank so we can get some business money. I mean, what's
exactly
the point?
Let me tell you something. Now, me and my wife had the same credit rating when we got married, 10 years after we got married. We were very, I mean, we were popping in those days, right? So our credit rating was superb. But when I had 20% down on my house to build, I went to the bank on my own strength. They said, uh-uh. Now, I made something like, in those days, this was 1994, I made something like $52,000 a year at that time, maybe a little bit more, maybe 54. She was making maybe 55, 56 because she was working for Philip Morris, but she was pulling out, okay, because she was on disability from Philip Morris. But they said, we're not going to give you nothing unless your wife assigns. Which was ridiculous. And I said, kiss my butt. And I went to a couple friends. See, that's my advantage. I got people that I can go to. And I got written, finally, and got the loan to build my house. But the thing is I had political connections. Most black people ain't got that. And they will do a black woman quicker. They'll give you any and everything for a business, for a house, for a car. But if you attach to some black man, they ain't giving it to you. Not easy. Not unless you have overwhelming money to deal with it. It has to be overwhelming.
I mean, to sit and to disagree, I wasn't trying to just make the point just to be objective, just to throw something in there. What I'm saying is, I was just saying black men are targeted, we're public enemy number one. That's been the point I was trying to make. And that was just an example to bolster my point was the business loan study, which was, I found five sources just a second ago. All I'm saying the same thing. It's like, that's just true. It's not, look, I'm not gay, so I'm going to get me a woman. We're going to link up and make it do what it do. But I understand the game. I'm just talking about the rules and where it is right now. Michigan, we were talking a week ago about a lot of sisters don't have that mentality, though, about trying to even do a business. A lot of them don't. They don't. They're women like security. So why not give women loans? Because most women don't want to do it anyway because they like security. They don't want to take those risks like a man would.
Women are as powerful as they are and as smart as they are, and I don't take nothing from a woman. They are subject to obeying the rules. And as long as they obey the rules, everything is going to be fine. Black men will obey the rules as well, but they're not going to always obey the rules if the rules ain't right. And so, therefore, they pose a problem to the white company corporate owner.
That's why Obama lost the black male vote, too. He didn't really get he lost a big chunk of it the second time around.
Look, Wall Street is killing, and the people are dying. And the people is raving for more. This was the best act that I've ever seen. The best brainwashing job I've ever seen.
Now, he limped across. He did cross the finish line. He limped across the finish line the second time. He wasn't like the first time. The first time, folks thought he was walking on water. Now, his last time, folks was like, he lost a lot of brothers. I know for a fact he did.
I hope he did, but the thing is, check this out. He ain't been back to the black community since he got elected.
Well, why wouldn't he?
That's my point. And he's supposed to be this great identifier with blacks, and he's for us. That's what bothers me. This is the stupidity that keeps us down and keeps us more poor than we need to be. That's what I'm saying. That's why Michigan, hey, man, I wish we could go into business so we could show some people how it should be.
because it takes two brothers to watch out for each other's back in this thing.
So what would keep you from going into business?
Nothing.
Well, nothing at all. If we had something to go into business with, you know.
Right,
saying,
so if you really wanted to do it, you can make it happen. So what's stopping you?
Diva, I have three businesses right now, okay? So what I'm saying is if
well,
join
up with Michigan with one of them businesses and make it grow.
Well, you can't because
you said I wish we could go into business.
No, I'm saying he's in,
instead of wishes,
look,
just
look,
do
look,
it.
Look. Diva, she's in Michigan right now, and I'm in Ohio.
Oh,
and if something comes up that looks like would fit us, or I'd run something by him, or Alabama, or you know, or Eric over in Warren. If I ran
y'all three brothers could set this world on fire. Go ahead, and make it happen.
We could set a good portion of it on fire. There's no doubt.
I bet y'all make a five. Fortune 500 company. Show us what you're talking about.
It takes a long time to build a Fortune 500 company unless you have a huge brand new product.
That's done over generations
dream.
A lot of times.
You got to dream. You got to visualize it and have the drive.
No doubt. No doubt,
so,
but
there,
hold on,
hearing all the talking. I want to see some action.
No, hold on, Diva. Well, first of all, you probably can check most folks on this phone resume. They've done action. Action have done. So it's not like you just talking
about action to where it's changing the black community where it's affecting the
That takes time. I've employed over 30 people at one time. So it takes time to get to that point, though. You can't just
complaining that it's not happening and just start letting people know.
You didn't ask me what I've done. So I know you're talking to me because you didn't ask me nothing. I'm just saying, like, when you
I
say...
I don't see your name out there in the black community all like that.
Well, first of all, you were in Ohio. How you know what I did?
It doesn't matter. It's not just relegated to what state you live in, what city you live in. If you really care about the black community all like that, I'm tired of hearing all the wishes, shoulda, coulda, what we could do. Do something.
Diva,
and then once
Diva,
you gain that model
Diva.
And that knowledge, then pass it along
Diva.
To the brother that
okay,
you know.
Okay, I hear
the
point. Hold on. You didn't even ask me what I've done, number one. But number two, I am taking action, number one. I mean, number two. So